about.
Black people, black people, black people.
If you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
1, 2, 3.
Bad boy!
4, 5, 6.
B.I.G.
Thank you, Maestro. Beautifully done.
I feel sorry for your child.
How has life been for you up to today?
And now.
Okay, it's the ratings.
Told us not to worry about the ratings.
Yeah, you can start now.
Our feature presentation.
How's life been up until now?
best question ever.
That's the best question ever and impossible to answer.
I think it should be required that Beer Mug ask that of every person he ever interviewed.
Well, when I was born, I mean, there's no way to answer that question.
I had a very kind thought about Beer Mug this morning.
Nope.
I did.
You have not had one kind thought about Beer Mug? Oh, it's something about how peaceful you're going to be when you die.
Yeah, probably.
Nope.
Yeah. No, that wasn't it. Oh, although you're on the right track.
Sure.
All right. The premise I think we can all agree on is we all wish Beer Mug an early and painful death, right? You guys are with me on that.
Not really.
I don't think we're with you on that.
You, obviously, we want to see Beer Mug die in soon. But then I was thinking, what if, much like I have heard several people mention during these Olympic games, they miss the evil enemy of the Soviet Union? What if once Beer Mug is gone, then my life is lessened because I don't have that burning hate that gets me out of bed every day to wish bad things upon him?
Oh, you would find something else to hate.
Really? Because I've never really hated anything as much as I hate Beer Mug. So up until this point in my life, I haven't had that. I haven't needed that. I think Beer Mug is an exception. I think Beer Mug is my Nazis. He's my 9/11.
He's keeping you alive.
Yeah. In some ways, I think that's the fuel that gets me out of bed in the morning is to go, well, maybe today's the day that I can enjoy his death.
All right.
You know?
So wait a minute. Let me just see if I understand. If I do away with Beer Mug, I'll also be doing away with you in one fell swoop.
The biggest win in the history of the world?
That is a win-win.
I do think that I might just shrivel up and die if I don't have...
Unbelievable.
If I don't have the fuel to go on to hate Beer Mug every day.
You're going down today, man. Sorry. I like you. I don't want you to go down, but...
But to get rid of me.
Right.
See, I told you that I had something nice to say about Beer Mug.
Yeah,
I said I will miss him when he dies his early painful death.
I was wrong. You're right.
Speaking of death, there has been a theme this week on body parts being injured here at the 5:30 a.m. stories. We told you two days ago, I think we told you about the guy who lost his hand to the alligator.
Yes.
Sure.
Yesterday we had the woman who had the ugly interaction with the dog saliva and ended up getting her hands and her feet cut off while in the hospital in a medically induced coma. Not nearly that serious today, but this is a story that Kevin will very much appreciate. A party trick gone awry is what it appears happened to an Australian man who suffered severe burns after he put fireworks up his butt.
Oh, man, what an idiot.
It doesn't say authorities believe alcohol was involved, but I mean, I think that's a super given here, right?
Sure,
There's no possible other way that you go, hey, no. I'm going to light fireworks out my butt, right?
That's the thing. That is one of the downsides of alcohol is that every single idea that comes across, you go, that would be awesome. And nobody stops to say, hey, firework, butthole.
Could go wrong.
No, that's not a good mix.
Shoot the other way.
There's no way it could go right. Oh, was it a bottle rocket?
It doesn't say. It doesn't say what kind of fireworks it was. I'm dying to know. Now, Kevin, you have more experience than most with both alcohol and fireworks.
How dare you?
Has it ever occurred
to
you? No. Man, this would be hilarious if I could shoot fireworks out my butt. Imagine how awesome that would look.
No, it never has. Because
really?
No, because then I'm
surprised by that.
Because then I think what could go wrong, which is I do ask that question a lot. And a lot of times if I do something, it's because I can't really find the answer to what could go wrong. There, it's pretty easy to figure out what could go wrong.
Well, not according to this 23-year-old man. The New Zealand Herald reports that paramedics near Darwin, Australia, were called to the scene this past Saturday night. He had already taken himself to the hospital, though, by the time they arrived to be treated to injuries to his posterior and genital area. Here's my quote from the police that I love so much, from the senior sergeant, Jerry Smith. What must have seemed a great idea at the time has backfired, resulting in the male receiving quite severe and painful burns to his cheeks, back, and private bits.
Private bits.
I love that.
Wow.
Smith also added there's a lesson to be gleaned from the man's injuries. Apparently, firecrackers are not designed for that particular placement. Just like the alligator guy, who then got arrested, by the way, and had to post bond to get out of jail after losing his hand, this man faces fines because apparently fireworks are illegal in the area except on their national holiday of Territory Day, which is on July 1st. So he was a couple of weeks past that.
Again, they don't think he learned his lesson?
Yeah, it does seem like it's piling on to also arrest this dude if he's already burned his butt.
Dude's got a ring of fire. He's suffering enough.
Injuries to his posterior and genital area, so it was front and back he got it from.
Were they, when he went into the hospital, were they looking for the fireworks?
I know where it is. It's in your butt.
Very possibly.
What? How embarrassing. And we've always talked about this. You have to go to the ER and you have to explain to them, and there's usually other people in the room, and there's that bulletproof glass, so you have to yell what the I put a firework in, and the people next to you are just laughing. That's terrible.
I love this guy.
I think too.
He's the best.
He's the best. No question. Let's talk about today's Kevin and Bean Show, shall we?
Because that's what champions do.
That is what champions do. That's right. Thank you, Nick. Ariane Celeste.
Yes.
UFC ring girl in the studio today.
Lisa, you can leave early today, right? You can leave at 9.
There's no reason for me to leave.
There really isn't. There's
she's going to come in.
It's
she's going to be
both.
Charming and beautiful.
No, but I'm saying.
Just as charming and
what
beautiful.
What if she wants to make out with Lisa?
Yeah.
Oh, that's a good
point.
I hadn't thought about that. Right. Okay. I was just worried about, bringing down the average hotness. But that's okay.
Wow.
No, you should
Beans
stay.
Beans on fire with.
I think Kevin's right. You should stay in case.
With insulting people
and
today.
And Beer Mug, we're sending out for food or something during that hour,
yeah,
right?
He needs to be gone.
He's got to be gone.
No question about that.
And Kevin, I don't think there's any reason for you to be in here.
How dare you?
That's all. It wasn't about Lisa. It was about getting everybody out of the room.
The government has done a study. You'll be glad to know that they've done a study, an official study that cost a lot of money. And the result is that mermaids are not real.
Hey, so, spoiler alert.
Well, I think everyone knows mermaids aren't real.
I find that very disappointing.
Do you?
I really do.
Well, they did a study, so now we all know. All and right. Now okay. Our minds will be at peace. Bean's going to give us some highlights of a man who's in love with balloons.
And by in love.
Seriously in love. I mean deep romantic love with balloons.
Yep. Yep.
He's on a mission to save them, too. Because balloons have a tough life.
Where's the snuggery, Bean? Is this in New York?
Yes.
In New York. There's a woman who, if you pay, I think it's $60 an hour or something like that, you can snuggle with her. And that's it. That's all she offers, supposedly.
So it's just, it's human touch, really.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
It's a connection.
It's comfort. Yeah.
Do you need to lay there and spoon with somebody?
That's a good job. I mean, if you don't have a job.
Yeah, imagine.
That's a pretty good job.
It's $60 an hour.
$60 an hour.
But you're also playing full court defense on those guys every second of the day, right?
Yeah.
If that's all you're doing is
you need someone in the
snuggling.
Room, too, right?
A
guard of some sort,
With a gun?
Put him down?
A trank gun? We're going to do Pet Judge Lisa today.
Yes!
So take it easy, Lisa.
I'm ready.
If you and your significant other or roommate or whoever are having a fight over one of your pets, they need to be outside more, you don't want them in your bed, you have a breakup, you can't figure out who gets the dog, Lisa will rule.
Absolutely.
That's going to happen today. And it's going to be the first time Lisa ruled. So we got that going for us. We have Michael Schneider from TV Guide talking about the Olympics and the ratings for the Olympics, which seem to be through the roof.
Mm-hmm. And the controversy, because many people are disappointed that this seems to be the only sporting event that you can't see live in the world. And people are just really ticked off at NBC. And then the other side of that is NBC paid tons of money for this. And, they're trying to deliver advertiser dollars here, trying to give eyeballs for the commercials that air in primetime. So what do you do?
I'm not mad at all because I couldn't watch them live. So it wouldn't help
true.
Me.
Aren't most of the events spoiled for you by the time you see them at night?
No.
Oh, then you've got your head in the sand then. You're one of those who just doesn't encounter news throughout the day. Many people are the opposite, and they can't avoid spoilers.
Hi, Bean. My name is Kevin. Really? You just asked if I had my head in the sand.
But if you catch
yes,
one one TV or radio newscast throughout the day, like yesterday as a perfect example, then you already know everything that's going to happen tonight because they come in and they go, Michael Phelps just set a record for winning his 19th Olympic medal. And you go, oh, thanks. You know, you can't avoid everything else in the world during the Olympics. And it's impossible to avoid spoilers. And that's why people are disturbed by NBC.
All right.
And I think that's a legitimate complaint in the world of 2012.
I just think you pay so much more attention than most people. But we'll talk about it with
them.
Right. I'm sure you can find some homeless people to agree with you. the campaign. Will Ferrell, Zach Galifianakis. We're going to give you some tickets for the world premiere of that. And we have Adam Carolla with This Week in Rage. Coming up, we'll take a break and come back with the Ralph Showbiz Beat next.
Sharktopus and Joe Schmo. He plays a cop on a TV show. Showbiz Beat, announcer man. Does voices of animals and eats them. Gee knows. He used to date a porn star. The shack is his Eagle sports bar. He put bat wings on his car. Hey, there goes Ralph Garman! Yeah.
Wow.
Come on.
That's impressive. Right?
Got my own theme song.
That's nice.
Wow.
Sweet. Ralph's here. Time for a first look at the Showbiz Beat here on a Wednesday Kevin DeBeat Show.
No way I can live up to that, but I will try as we talk about the Showbiz news. Robert Pattinson.
Guilty.
He is not charged with anything. Oh. However, he is, according to sources close to our Pats, suffering from a seriously broken heart. Imagine you're dating a dog, and that dog goes off and still has sex with someone else, even though you're a particularly attractive, talented, successful actor.
Even if effeminate.
Well, yeah, he's flimsy, don't get me wrong. But he's also got a lot going on.
I hear you.
Strapping young man, talented, the big movie star. She runs off with a 40-something-year-old director, starts banging it out. And you say, I'm safe. I've got this pig as a girlfriend. Where's she going? Where's this surly, unattractive, talentless woman going to go? I'm the best she can get, and she must realize that.
You do get the idea that she has peaked already. Like, yes. This is the best it's going to get for her.
It's like Brad Pitt dating Roseanne Barr. Right. Saying, well, I'm Brad Pitt. Look at me, and this is Roseanne Barr. She will just worship the ground I walk on because she'll know she'll never do any better than this.
And then Roseanne cheats.
Right. Then
that
Roseanne runs off.
Doesn't make any sense.
Starts banging it out with Jim Belushi, for example. Just saying. He apparently has been hitting the London club scene, drinking seriously, telling his tale of woe to anyone who will listen. Just a really depressed.
That isn't good for you.
And now apparently is back here in California, hanging out, just lost, just a mess. Word is, he can't figure out whether to forgive his girlfriend Kristen Stewart for cheating on him or not, and he's debating whether to take her back, and it's just emotional turmoil for our buddy Robert Pattinson.
First of all, he's not our buddy. Second of all, this is his golden ticket. This is what he's been should have been waiting
for. He's going to go to Willy Wonka's factory.
No, I'm saying he scored. She screwed up. He can get out.
He gets out. Scot-free.
Run for your life.
Maybe, just maybe, he's in love with her. I know it's hard to imagine.
That is impossible.
More showbiz love news. Britney Spears is going into some serious training. Rumor has it, her wedding is going to be this Christmas time in Hawaii. So she's already started her Olympic-style training to get in shape for the wedding. She's hired a team of trainers to whip her into shape. Pilates, apparently a big part of her regimen. Weights, cardio. And they say she's taken to bathing in Evian water.
What?
As a beauty regime.
What's that get for you?
Yeah, how does that...
Regimen, rather. I have no idea. It's expensive, so it must be good.
It's a way to throw away money?
Yeah, exactly.
This is her third
This would be
her
third marriage? Marriage.
Third, right? She's like 30, right?
Yes. This Christmas. So look for those save the dates coming in the mail anytime soon. I'm keeping with a theme here about celebrity romance. A little bachelor news. A little bachelorette news.
Oh,
I know people wait for it.
Can't wait.
Word has it, Kevin, and you'll be shocked because you know that Emily picked Jeff with one F over Ari.
Yeah.
Everybody's
really...
like, how is that going to happen? How is that possible?
That bothered me a lot.
Sure, it bothered a lot of us. Well, it turns out that Ari may have been the one doing the dumping, not Emily, as the show would have you believe.
Not interested.
How they edited and produced it. Apparently, Ari found out that she was already banging Jeff, the other potential bachelor.
What?
and told her, this is not what I want from someone that I am thinking about getting married to.
Stop it.
So he dumped her, and then producers convinced him to make it look like she chose Jeff over him for the finale.
Are you and Petros on the phone every night crying to each other about how sad this is?
Well, we're certainly comparing notes, and he is not an Emily Maynard fan. I, however, am a big Emily fan, so I would rather see her with Jeff than with Ari. So I think it worked out for the best.
And you care about these people? These people, why?
Because they're on television.
Oh, that's right.
Speaking of people you shouldn't care about.
I should kick your ass for wasting my time.
Who are on television. Finally, we're getting another Kardashian reality show.
All right.
Yes.
It's just too much of the one that's on.
Kendall and Kylie now apparently are going to get their own show.
Where's the outrage there?
They want their own series just like their half-sisters, Kourtney, Kim, and Khloe.
Well, sure. How else will they ever make money?
Right. And they have important things, Lisa, that they need to document via television so that we can all appreciate what's going on there.
Exactly? What do they have exactly?
Kevin, you don't be a fool.
But I'm saying exactly.
Here's what Kendall tells Seventeen magazine about their life that makes it television worthy.
Okay.
We go on a lot of adventures, she tells Seventeen magazine. We do crazy stuff. We will kidnap one of our friends or get a group together and go to Disneyland for the night. We do what we want to do. We're just like, let's make it happen. Come on, don't you want to see that televised?
That's a show.
Exciting story.
You get to see
them do things.
Carbuncle and Chlamydia go to Disneyland with
just
their friends.
On a whim.
They just go. They're just like, let's make this happen.
They don't plan it like a month
out?
What?
They don't, like the rest of us, have to come up with some elaborate scheme of how to break into Disneyland and enjoy the rides to get to a place that no one else can get to. They just, on the spur of the moment, they just make it happen.
Wow.
Oh, I cannot wait for Kendall and Kylie.
What does that do? Did that blow your mind?
Yeah,
that just happened.
You know what else blew my mind? You guys had Vince Vaughn on the show recently while I was on vacation,
last
didn't
week.
You? Did you happen to talk to him about the Brady Bunch?
No, this had not been announced then.
About his TV series that he's producing?
No.
The Brady Bunch?
No.
The reboot of the Brady Bunch that Vince Vaughn is bringing us on television?
There was a different show he was producing that we talked about, but not this one.
He's bringing us the Brady Bunch back.
Does he say why?
Do we need that?
Well, listen, it's not just the Brady Bunch.
Okay.
What would happen? All right, now listen, follow me if you can, people. It's a little complex, but follow me. What would happen if Bobby Brady grew up, the youngest of the Brady boys, grew up, and he had three sons? Now, hold on. I'm not done yet.
Yeah.
Now, let's say Bobby gets divorced from the woman that he was married to with the three sons. But he meets another woman.
Don't say it.
And falls in love with her.
Nope.
Do you think she has any kids?
I bet she does.
What if she has three daughters?
What?
You mean history repeats itself?
What if there's a story about a man named Brady?
No way.
Who was living with three boys of his own. They were four men living all together. But
yes.
They were all alone.
Then what happened?
Well, then one day... Anyway, you get where I'm going with this.
Are you kidding me?
Yeah,
Why is this happening? Reboot
of the Brady Bunch. Because, Kevin, we all need the Brady Bunch in our lives. We need new Bradys.
But why do we need new Bradys?
Look, if you don't get it, then I just can't explain it to you if you don't understand it.
I love Vince Vaughn, but that doesn't mean everything he does is gold.
So one day when this lady met this fellow.
It could be good, too. By the way, forget the Brady Bunch comparison. Anyone can make a family sitcom that could be good.
It was clear it was much more than a hunch. This group could somehow form a family. Hmm. And that, my friends, is the day that they became the Brady Bunch.
Yay!
That isn't good for you.
Thank you so much. Now, the upside is the showrunner apparently is the guy who is from Raising Hope.
Oh, that's a great show.
That's a good show.
Okay.
So maybe. Who knows? All right. Today's celebrity birthdays. Spider-Man is 50 years old today. Spider-Man first appeared in comic books 50 years ago today.
That's till us.
Tom Likas. Radio personality Tom Likas.
Wow.
I haven't heard of him in a while.
He is 56 years old today. Wow. That's a rough 56.
It is.
Joe Elliott of Def Leppard. He is 53 years old today. Chuck D of Public Enemy turns 42. Coolio is 49. Coolio. We love Coolio.
Wonder what he's cooking.
I wonder what Coolio's cooking. Adam Duritz of Counting Crows is 48, and director Sam Mendes is 47 years old today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz.
Love that Will Ferrell. Love that Zach Galifianakis. Love that Jason Sudeikis. Looks like a great movie called The Campaign. You get to see it more than a week before it comes into theaters. How about that? You get to see it tomorrow night. Doesn't open until a week from Friday. We'll tell you when to call in later on this morning here on the Kevin Bean Show on K-Rock.
Time for the Afro line, 323-520-AFRO. That is the phone number. You can call us. If you hear something you want to comment on or something that we're not talking about that you think we should, give us a call and leave us a message. If action needs to be taken, you can certainly let us know.
Slap beer mug for me.
Done. Hey. Done.
Ow!
Yep.
Kevin?
Done.
Hey, instead of having beer mug at a freeway off-ramp.
Okay, now we were talking about homeless people and how we had an officer in who said they make $200 to $300 an hour.
Mm-hmm.
So we were going to send beer mug out to an off-ramp and have him beg and see how much money he can get. So this guy has a... Maybe he's refined our idea a little bit.
Hey, instead of having beer mug at a freeway off-ramp, you should put him in the middle of the freeway at night.
That's a fantastic idea.
He won't make much money, I don't think.
That's not a bad idea. We were talking about Olympic sports, and I was talking about water polo and how much it sucks because every single person that touches it, the whistle blows. Without fail.
Yeah.
I mean,
there's a lot going on under the
whistle,
water.
Whistle, 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 every 2 seconds. So I said it sucks. This woman is not happy with me.
Water polo sucks. You. You wouldn't last 5 minutes in the pool with my 17-year-old daughter. You pussy.
That woman has a 17-year-old daughter, and she's calling me a pussy.
That's true.
Water polo, I was thinking about this when I saw it on the TV this weekend. You would never in a trillion years watch that if it weren't the Olympics.
Oh, agreed.
And it is really hard, though. My brother played.
But I think that's the side of a sport that shouldn't be the Olympics.
If you wouldn't watch it any other time.
If you wouldn't watch it. Same thing with ping pong. That's on MSNBC all day today. If you wouldn't watch ping pong, then don't put it in the Olympics.
I also don't think you have to be good at it to just say that it sucks.
It's boring.
I couldn't last 3 minutes in a water polo match. Doesn't make it good.
They need an underwater cam.
I don't know.
I thought they had one.
Do they?
I'm not joking when I say the whistle blows every second and a half. It's the craziest thing I've ever seen. Here's a podcast listener.
So I was listening to the podcast, and I almost couldn't believe my ears because we just talked about soccer. You just 9 months ago, you just talked about it. No offense to Andy Donovan, but really, already? Soccer? Come on! You want to receive some menstruation charts or something? Why don't we just get the entire U.S. Olympic ladies badminton team and book them all next week? That's all you should talk about. Soccer, come on!
Women's team is number one. Just saying.
All right.
We had a little bit of a controversy in that we put up the internet roundup, and there was one that was particularly disturbing. It was the Oxy commercial.
Mm-hmm.
Worst commercial in the world. And Bean loved it. Lisa was fine with
it. Well, I was just fascinated with it because it was so gross. I found it hard to believe that it could be real. People were popping their pimples, and there was just so much stuff squirting out of it that I thought it had to be some sort of Hollywood special effect. But we had Dr. Mo on, and he said, no, that really does happen.
And I was suggesting perhaps that's not a topic that we want to be talking about while people, I don't know, go through their mornings, perhaps eating.
Hey, I've got a good idea. Let's talk about popping zits at 8 o'clock in the morning when most people are eating.
I'm with
First
her.
Of all, we already thought of that. So how do you like us now?
Yeah, but you overruled it.
And you were wrong.
So thanks to that Oxy man-sized problems commercial, I'll never be able to eat cream cheese again or the easy cheese in the can or pizza or strawberries and cream or I'm going to go vomit now.
Just go to KevinBean.com or KRock.com and look
no,
at the last
should.
Internet roundup.
It's fascinating.
You can see the video yourself. And also the reaction video of Lisa and Psycho Mike and a bunch of other people who are watching the video. They put the camera on them to see their face as they watch it. And it's hilarious.
I'd like to suggest doing that in the other order. Go see the reaction video first, and then you can decide if you want to watch the actual video from that. Here's a guy making fun of me. And here's the thing that sucks about this job. I could have said something stupid 2 months ago, and still it'll come back to haunt me.
This is why I listen to the podcast, because I'm somebody that you've never heard of, and I...
Sorry. Set up the wrong one. This is Ashley Ricards from Awkward.
Yes.
And she's gone into her impression of her.
Oh.
Already.
I'm on the TV show Awkward, but nobody in this target audience has ever listened to. And I'm coming in for this interview with no sleep. And I'm a member of Mensa, but I'm going to really come off like, yeah, podcast, fast forward.
So she can fast forward.
Was well cast to be in a television show called Awkward.
And she wasn't as terrible as she was fine in person. If you see her body language and everything, you see she's fine. But she did come off a little that way, unfortunately. Yeah. But then she did a dance off with Psycho Mike, which is pretty funny.
All is forgiven.
You can see that video as well.
Today has been the worst day. I'm out here in Phoenix. On the way home, my car died. It is hot. I've just been walking for hours. I'm dehydrated. This is just the worst day. What's that? Is that a drink store? A drink store? A drink store? Yeah! Drink store!
Kevin did invent the drink store a couple of weeks ago, and everybody thought it was a great idea.
And finally, to go out on a high note.
Man, in America, they say scratch your back. So I took a hairbrush and I started brushing my back. It feels so good, man. Everybody must try it. Scratch your back with a hairbrush up. Bye.
Oh, okay. Fine comedy from the Armenian comedian.
Oh, was he trying to be funny?
Wasn't he?
I think that was a joke.
I thought he was just telling us what he was doing.
Nope. Pretty sure that was a joke.
No, that was a joke.
Yeah. Oh, it was a joke. I'm sorry.
You know, the same scratch your back. Yeah. You want to hear it again just to be sure?
No. Maybe we need a boom at the end.
I mean, I don't know. I mean, maybe get a rim shot ready. Yeah. Maybe that's all it needs if it had a rim shot.
Man, in America, they say scratch your back. So I took a hairbrush and I started brushing my back. It feels so good, man. Everybody must try it. Scratch your back with the hairbrusher up. Right.
Now?
Yes.
Now. Oh, that's hilarious.
Right? Joe.
That's so funny.
Mm-hmm. Much better.
That's just not.
I haven't seen this program on the National Geographic Channel. Kevin, it sounded like you have been watching Taboo, or at least have seen it before.
Taboo is great.
Taboo is people who are honked up.
Yes.
And there is an episode that they released some early footage of. I don't think it airs until later this month. I want to say August 19th is the man who is in love with balloons. And I don't just mean he enjoys balloons. I mean he has a deep romantic relationship with balloons. Let's meet him, shall we?
In suburban Little Rock, 27-year-old Dave is infatuated with balloons.
The best way to protect it is underneath the shirt.
Okay, Dave's a little soft-spoken, but he's having a moment here that I'm grateful that he's allowing cameras to be present for, because he is taking balloons and he is rubbing them up against his chest under his shirt.
Oh, boy.
Because that's the best way to handle your balloons.
And you feel the balloon right there with you. It feels so close.
Feels so close.
The people that are in love with inanimate objects are bizarre. And there's a long series of them. I had this one.
I feel very, very blessed to have a piece of my sweet Golden Gate Bridge. And I just hope that when I make love with this piece of him, that he can sense how much I really, really love him.
They're crazy beyond words.
But you're the guy that was in love with his car, the woman who married a bridge, and then remember I had the woman from Seattle who was in love with a building, remember?
Oh,
she
sure.
Married the building.
Don't move.
A year ago at a private ceremony, she married the Eiffel Tower.
Right, exactly.
Married the Eiffel Tower.
Balloons, so, this guy, balloons don't last forever.
So he puts the balloon under his shirt. Is it inflated?
Bean? Yes. Yes, it's inflated.
Okay.
It's inflated. And he's rubbing it. And as you can hear, he's enjoying the hell out of it.
You feel so warm and you feel so... And your heart just reaches out to this beautiful, beautiful balloon.
I love him.
What? I believe these balloons are my children.
Okay. He believes the balloons are his children, first of all. Second of all,
they are a part of who I am as a person. And I feel that they make part of my so-called family.
Do you love him so much already?
First of all, I have a question. That's a him?
Yes.
Because it sounds like a woman.
He's not a macho man.
Really?
at all. But he does find love with these balloons.
Why do his kids keep going flat? When does that happen?
Well, fortunately, they can't be replaced. The one thing about being in love with balloons, by the way, is that you can just go to a store, you can just buy it. You can have as many as you want. It's not like falling in love with the Golden Gate Bridge.
You can have 100 kids.
You're pretty much just stuck with the Golden Gate Bridge. But let's hear some more from Dave.
I love to sleep with them in my shirt. I create this world of sleeping on clouds. And you just want to feel the love emanating from these beautiful, beautiful balloons.
Look, you can mock Dave if you want.
I would like
ever
to.
Ever felt the way about that he feels about balloons? Have you ever felt that way about anything? I mean, seriously, he is insanely in love with these balloons.
He does seem quite happy.
Some people think I may be doing something else with them.
Lisa, that's what you were thinking, right?
Yes.
You were thinking that it's a sexual thing?
Of course.
How dare you?
Not true at all. I am pure in my life. I keep the balloons the same way.
He keeps the balloons pure. Those balloons are virgins.
How does he know? How does he know the balloons aren't cheating with other balloons behind his back?
He's not having any kind of sexy time with these balloons at all. It is completely pure, you guys. So I want you to get whatever gross thoughts out of your head that you had, all right?
Well, you're bringing the crazy extra
when
hard
I really
today,
first
huh?
Started doing...
Hold on. Let's start again there.
When I really first started doing balloon rescues, I was quite nervous in talking to the managers because I feel...
Okay, so balloon rescues.
Did you say balloon rescues?
Yes. What he does is he drives down the street in his little Little Rock, Arkansas neighborhood, and for instance, he'll drive by a car dealership where they'll have cars, you know, lined up along the front of the highway there with balloons tied to them. And he's like, oh my God, I got to set these balloons free. I got to rescue these. So he stops in and asks if he can have some of the balloons and loads up his whole car with balloons and takes them home and adds them to his family. He's rescuing those balloons.
What's his house look like? Is it just packed with balloons?
He had quite a few balloons.
But, I mean, quite a few or hundreds?
No, I mean, he could – no, in the shot that I saw – and, again, we haven't seen the whole show. We've just seen clips. But in the shot that I saw, he probably had a average-sized living room, and he probably had about 20 balloons in there. So it wasn't like they were packed so tight that he could barely move. And how do you stop? I mean, if you're really in love with balloons, how do you not go down to the party store and buy like 500 of them, right?
Well, or if you want to rescue them, how you're not doing a very good job.
Right. So let's see what's going on with the rescues.
You don't know if they're going to say no or not. I actually do get quite emotional when I rescue these balloons. It's like a yearning to get these beautiful things.
Dave's just spotted some he'd like to take home.
They're just so lovely. Look at all these beautiful balloons. Oh my goodness. It's really, really sweet. Oh.
All right, now he's packing up his car. He's got all these balloons from the car dealership. You see him jamming his car.
I bring them home with me. I try to restore them as best as possible. I feel a balloon does have feelings.
Anyone?
Wow, you're bringing the crazy extra hard today, huh?
What kinds of feelings does he think the balloon might have?
Balloons have feelings.
Does he think he's making the balloons happy? Is that what he's talking about?
Wouldn't you love to hear the conversation between him and the
and his therapist?
And no. And the guy that owns the car dealership?
They must know him by now, right?
Car dealership wouldn't believe him.
No.
He probably doesn't tell them all the backstory. He probably just says, hey, you got a lot of balloons. Do you mind if I have some? Or do you have any that are, you know, starting to wilt a little bit and you're replacing them soon? Can I have those? Maybe.
He
should
just jump out with scissors and just go take them.
Oh, that'd be awesome.
That's
right?
A rescue.
Take it by force.
Yeah. I feel a balloon does have feelings. It's vulnerable to a lot of things. I hate it when it gets popped. I hate it when it gets sad or let go in the air. A balloon needs a good home, and I'm here for it.
Careful.
That's good.
Dave is what's known in the balloon community as a non-popper.
Okay, now this is important.
This
is an important distinction that I want to bring up because apparently the Lunars, and they're called Lunars, by the way, the people who are into balloons, apparently the Lunars are very distinct camps. They're the poppers and the non-poppers. The poppers get the charge, the thrill, the excitement out of popping balloons, but Dave is a pacifist.
He does not
want to hurt the balloons.
I wish the Oxy commercial were non-poppers. Tell you that right now.
In fact, unfortunately, I don't know how it happens, but one of the balloons does pop in Dave's piece.
Oh.
And listen to how sad he is.
Ooh, ow. Man, that hurt my ear. Poor thing.
Non-poppers see the popping of a balloon as tantamount to murder.
Yeah.
She didn't mean to hurt you.
A non-popper is a person who does not like the popping of the balloon. It causes them anxiety a lot of the time, and in the most extreme cases, they can even view the popping of a balloon as the loss of a partner.
Well, obviously. Come on.
Wow.
August 19th is going to be the date we can see more of Dave's story. I vote we revisit Dave and his love of balloons in a couple
agreed.
Of weeks. Congratulations to our latest Kevin Bean winner. This time it's Austin Harmon from Long Beach. He won tickets to go see Jack White at the Shrine in August, which, by the way, we're in August now. Today's 1st of August.
Yes,
how
it
crazy
is
that?
Crazy.
He's also eligible for the grand prize drawing we do on Friday for K-Rock Road Trip USA 2012. Stop number 5, Jack White one more time, this time as part of the Voodoo Experience in New Orleans, along with Green Day, Skrillex, and over 80 other bands at the Voodoo Experience. Details at K-Rock.com, and your chance to win is coming up.
As you know, I'm a big fan of the National Oceanic and Atmospheric Administration.
That's all you ever talk about. You got a NOAA tattoo, don't you?
I get there. I got the tattoo. I get the newsletter.
Mm-hmm.
Very excited about it.
You interned there in college, if I recall correctly.
I did. That's correct. They specialize in climate change and population growth and port congestion and containment.
All the issues that are close to your heart.
Right. Everything that I care about the most. And now they've come out and they said that mermaids are not real.
Well, that is shocking.
They've done a study. They say mermaids just don't exist. They're a half-human, half-fish creature. Just imagination.
Aww.
But that's
what about all the stories about the sailors and
yeah, just stories, Lisa.
Sirens of the sea.
According to NOAA, just the stories.
Is that an official, that's a real government agency?
Yes.
Is this my tax dollars at work? Did they fund a study?
This is your tax dollars at work. This is a government body that is now putting out press releases about mermaids.
Wow, just our dreams.
All other problems have been solved, and we're down to mermaids. This is great.
But the Splash movie, that was real, right?
Yes, that was real.
We asked producer Dave if we could please talk to somebody from NOAA, the National Oceanic and Atmospheric Administration, and apparently Mr. Niles Pertwee. Niles Pertwee joins us on the phone. Have I said that right, sir?
Yes, you have. Thank you so much for saying that correctly.
Well, thank you so much for joining us. I am frankly shocked that, A, there was a study into the reality of mermaids, and, B, that you have reached the conclusion they do not exist.
Well, here at NOAA, we feel it's our obligation in order to look into these phenomena and ensure that the American public is safe from anything that would potentially be otherworldly or perhaps existing in the ocean or atmosphere,
but
that would be otherwise unexplainable.
Isn't this one of those things that pretty much 99% of the population knows doesn't exist?
I would beg to differ. There have been many eyewitness accounts of mermaids being seen from ships and from islands around the world, from Australia all the way through the North Americas.
Right.
And I believe with that much eyewitness testimony, it was impingent upon us to look into the facts and make sure that, in fact, there were no mermaids. And I like to say, after $1,400 million, we have decided...
I'm sorry.
You said $1,400 million.
Yeah, that's $1.4 billion. We've finally been able to ascertain that there are no such thing as mermaids.
You spent that much on this study?
Yes, just that. Well, it's part of a larger study, actually. We're looking at all phenomena in the atmosphere and the ocean and trying to ascertain as to whether these creatures do exist or not. So a large portion of our money was invested in the mermaid project.
Wow.
But we have many other going on. We have the Eryctolagus vernal equinox project.
What's that?
That's looking for the Easter bunny. And we have found many bunnies, actually. During the vernal equinox, the time around when Easter traditionally takes place,
right?
We have yet to find one carrying a basket of eggs, however. So
okay.
As of yet, we have had no results from the Eryctolagus vernal equinox project.
And that's part of the $1.4 billion that you're spent?
Yes, another large part. We're also looking for the European island treasure pygmy.
What's that?
Apparently, on some European island known as Ireland, there is a pygmy who is said to have been protecting a pot of golden coins at the end of the rainbow.
You talking about a leprechaun?
Or a leprechaun in the civilian parlance. Yes, call him.
Don't we have $1 trillion government deficit
right now?
Before you move
on, I think you might want to know, we have not found any leprechauns.
Right, but we could have told you that.
Yeah.
Oh, could you have?
Yes,
could you have backed it up with scientific evidence?
Well, no, but...
And shut the hell up.
I guess the point is, if we're $1 trillion in debt right now,
mm-hmm.
why spend money on things, as Kevin pointed out, that 99.9% of people don't believe in anyway?
Well, I would like to think if there was an Irish midget holding on to a bucket of coins, that you'd like to know that.
Yeah, we would if there was.
That's what I'm
saying.
But
there isn't.
Listen, this is what I do for a living, okay?
Right.
I don't like you casting aspersions upon it.
Well, you're using our tax dollars.
Well, but I think you would like to know that we have looked into the pixie dentata phenomenon,
What's that?
The Tooth Fairy.
Tooth Fairy.
And I can say you can rest assured you can sleep safely at night knowing that there no Tooth Fairy is sneaking into your home, stealing your teeth, and leaving coins behind.
Okay.
The Tooth Fairy does not exist.
Can we just assume that everything you looked into was a big zero?
I would not assume that because let's talk about the Abominable Snowman.
Okay.
Well, that's not real.
Oh, isn't it?
No.
I'll have you know, we tracked down to a very exclusive Inuit tribe. We were able to actually ascertain information about the Abominable Snowman.
Okay, and?
Turns out it was just an Inuit gentleman who had done an enormous amount of crunches at the gym, and he was, in fact, the Abdominal Snowman. We were very close. We also found Jack Frost. He does, in fact, exist.
Okay.
Jack Frost does exist. So there you go. There is proof positive that someone...
But not the Jack Frost that we know from the Christmas story. Is there somebody named Jack Frost?
There was a guy named Jack Frost, but he does exist.
Right.
All right.
However, the only, the only white glaze that he puts out every winter...
Careful, Niles.
Has nothing to do with any temperature. It has to do with Mrs. Frost. More than
All right. I believe we'll leave it there. Thank you, Mr. Pertree.
I'm Lisa May with K-Rock Traffic.
You crazy bitch whore!
What? Ralph Garber's here.
And that was for who?
I hope not Lisa May.
Time for that. Hey, it wasn't me. It was some guy yelling at Lisa. I got him out of here. I saved you, Lisa. 6:53, Ralph is here with the Showbiz Beat.
He is just full of love today, isn't
Bean
he?
He's on fire today. Wow.
He's right. Living in his own world.
Someone hurt him.
He is not going to diminish my excitement, however.
For
Masters of the Universe.
Yay!
The new live-action movie, He-Man and the Masters of the Universe.
Now, I know you're going to hate me for this, but...
I have the power!
What were they besides that?
What was He-Man and the Masters of the Universe?
I don't know the world. I don't know who they are.
Get the hell out. All of you, get the hell out.
Did they fight Ant-Man or something? Why should we know that?
Ant-Man? They fight Skeletor. They fought Skeletor.
Batman, Skeletor.
Skeletor is the Transformer?
The forces of Skeletor. No, it had nothing to do with the Transformers.
Sorry, I'm not familiar with that.
He was what? He was Green Lantern sidekick?
He-Man and the Masters of the Universe were a wildly successful toy line back in the early 80s.
Far the worst clip of audio we have.
And the toys came out. Mattel made the line of action figures, became a successful animated cartoon series.
You can't
in 83 and ran forever. And then they made a feature film, a live action feature film in 87 featuring Dolph Lundgren as He-Man and Frank Langella as Skeletor.
Oh, really?
Not a big hit. But they are rebooting it and they are bringing it to the big screen, and they just announced that director John Chu, who was also the man behind the new G.I. Joe Retaliation movie. More importantly, the director of Step Up to the Streets.
That's what I'm talking about.
He is going to helm the reboot of He-Man and the Masters of the Universe. Very
exciting. Is this a good call? You're glad that they're making this movie?
I'm glad He-Man's coming back.
You can't make a movie out of a line of toys. That's stupid.
Transformers. G.I. Joe.
Okay.
Just saying.
Those two.
It's got a long history. Looking forward to it. However, the problem was, and is, I think, with He-Man, is that he is way gay.
He's
what
gay?
Saw He-Man, can we pull up a picture of He-Man? Beermont, can you do that on the internet? Yeah. Oh, I don't know what I'm opening
by
myself up
hour.
For by asking this
by
for.
Next hour,
but
yeah.
The character himself is an enormous bodybuilder type fella,
right?
Who wears like little fur speedos,
okay,
and leather straps across his chest.
Oh. Now is he supposed to be gay?
And then no.
Oh.
And then has a pixie haircut, like a Darthy Hamill like blonde haircut,
like totally.
Rodney.
And I guess in the cartoon and in the toys, you could kind of get away with it, but you put a guy in that outfit on the screen, and it's just hard to maintain your machismo and be He-Man. Rarely has there been a character so poorly named as He-Man, given the way he dresses. Look at Beer Mug. Look at him trying to find a photo. It's ridiculous. It's not even worth it.
I've had it for 90 seconds I've had these images of. I'm looking through hundreds of them right now.
So, I'm just saying. I'll be interested to see how they take the character and kind of make him...
manly,
palatable, yes.
Or will they
for a new generation? There's He-Man there, right there. There he is. Look at him. He's built.
Pretty built, yeah.
I see him shaking hands with Superman in one of these photos, by the way.
Well, sure, they're pals.
You don't tell us.
You don't tell me. Good day to be a celebrity kid. Scout Willis got off easy yesterday. She was in court for that underage drinking charge. The court said if she does 2 days of community service and stays out of trouble, they will dismiss her drinking in public and underage drinking.
Wow. You crazy bitch!
Come on.
Whore!
Leave Scout Willis alone.
Seems a little harsh.
Hasn't done anything to anybody. Meryl Streep's daughter, Mamie Gummer.
I'm sorry?
I'm sorry.
Stop it.
Meryl Streep's daughter, whose name is Mamie Gummer.
Her last name is Gummer.
Yes, it is.
All right.
Just checking.
I don't even know her.
She's checking.
She's a super talented actress, by the way. I love her.
That's so hot.
She had a recurring role on The Good Wife, and she was just fantastic on that show. She's gotten her own TV series called Emily Owens, M.D. It's going to be on the CW this fall. And I'm excited about it. I think she's really...
Emily Gummer, M.D.
Very charismatic and talented actress. Looking forward to it. She was asked what her famous mom thought about her new gig, and she said, she's just my mom. She's wonderful. Both my parents are super supportive. I have a job, and I have health insurance, so they're thrilled, like any other parent would be. So, congratulations. If you're looking to pitch a TV show, I would suggest going to the WE TV network. They apparently need the content.
What is that? What's the WE?
WE TV is, it's like Lifetime. It's primarily focused towards a female audience.
Okay.
But they're desperately in need of programming, apparently, because they just picked up a third season of Joan and Melissa Rivers' show.
Oh, dear God.
Joan and Melissa, Joan Knows Best. And they also renewed Braxton Family Values about Toni Braxton and her sisters.
Wow.
So I'm just saying, I think they need a little something-something over there. And Lady Lions in the news. Great story over on TMZ.com. Our pals over there always have their finger on the pulse of show business. She's filming a new movie called The Canyons. This is the script written by Bret Easton Ellis, who is an author who gave us Less Than Zero, an American Psycho, and he specializes in the Los Angeles urban sort of skewed, upwardly mobile professionals. That's who he likes to write about. And the film The Canyons is currently being shot. Everyone's talking about it, and they were talking about when Lindsay got cast in it because it's a very sexual role, and she has a topless scene in the film.
All right.
She was nervous before filming the topless scene. She felt self-conscious. So, Lindsay insisted the entire crew work in nothing but their underwear.
You all take off your clothes, too?
Yes.
That's funny.
Including the women?
I'm assuming. It says the entire crew. I'm assuming that's men and women. Everyone had to strip down to their underwear to make Lindsay feel a little bit more comfortable.
I'd like to work on that set.
Actually, it says here it was 10 men. 10 men were shooting at the time. They all complied with her wishes, and the shoot went off without a hitch. So she got topless, they got down to their skivvies, and everyone was happy.
It's kind of brilliant.
I sort of have a boner.
That's what they say. They always say if you're doing public speaking, you know, imagine the audience in their underwear.
Right.
You won't be nearly as nervous.
The key word for the rest of us is imagine.
Yeah, well, we're not Lindsay. If you've got the power to make people strip in their underwear, that'd be even more effective, I would
think. But haven't thousands of actresses, many of whom are bigger stars than Lindsay Lohan, managed to do their job without inconveniencing everybody else on set?
Yes, but she's got giant cans, so however it works.
I'm sure the guys are like, all right.
Yeah, exactly.
I'm going to be staring at your cans for the next 4 hours, so if I have to get down to my Fruit of the Looms, then so be it. Today, celebrity birthdays. Director Sam Mendes is 47 years old today. Gave us, of course, American Beauty, one of my favorite films.
Great movie.
That's a great film. And if I'm not mistaken, I believe he's directing Skyfall, the new James Bond movie.
No kidding.
Wow. Did he do Revolutionary Road, too? Phenomenal movie?
He did. He's a super talented director. 47 years old today. Adam Duritz of Counting Crows is 48 years old. Coolio is 49. You have a little Coolio? Didn't we used to have a little Coolio? Coolio would give us a little taste of his rapping abilities.
I don't know if we had Coolio or not.
I got a little Coolio for you here.
Okay.
Can't have a party without Coolio.
Yo, what's
Coolio.
Up? It's Coolio with the flow of the neighborhood. Get a wish, Dr. Superhero, down to go toe-to-toe with any Hank, Frank, and Joe, straight from the 4-0. T-H-E-V-Z, Foley Thieves in the house, Mass Circle for life, baby.
Okay,
ladies
thanks, and
gentlemen, Coolio.
Thanks
Coolio.
For coming by.
49 years old today. Chuck D of Public Enemies, 52. Joe Elliott, lead singer for Def Leppard, is 53 years old today. And radio personality Tom Likas celebrates his 56th birthday. Do you care?
No,
we don't.
Didn't think so.
I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz.
106.7 K-Rock is KROQ, and this is the Kevin and Bean Show at 9 minutes after 7 o'clock.
Pet judge Lisa May makes its debut coming up this hour here on the Kevin and Bean Show.
You know, I think maybe because it'll take a long time to screen these calls.
Yeah.
Maybe we should have people call now.
Oh, that's
really
a good idea.
I think there's going to be a million of them, but okay, we can open up the phone. Sure.
1-800-520-1067 is the number. If you're having a fight over a pet, let's say one of you wants it in bed, the other one doesn't. One of you wants it to sleep someplace, the other one wants to sleep someplace else.
You can't deal with your neighbor and his barking dog or his cat that's pooping in your yard. Whatever
what
the problem
do?
Is, if it's pet-related, Lisa May has the answer. She will dispense that for you coming up.
So that's coming up next. But first, a woman who wants to snuggle with you.
I want to snuggle with her. Next time I'm in New York, I'm putting down my $60 for an hour. We talked about this story when it hit the news about a month ago. Now we get to talk to Jackie Samuels herself. She is with The Snuggery. TheSnuggery.org is the website. Hi, Jackie. How are you?
Hi, good. How are you?
Good. Thank you so much for joining us. I know that you have been asked all of these questions before, but we are so fascinated with the business of The Snuggery. Is this the first time anyone has attempted to make a go of this as a business where people pay you just to snuggle?
I'm not actually sure. I think I heard of somebody else in San Francisco doing the same thing, but I'm not sure.
Now, how did you come up with the idea?
It's just something I always like to do.
You like to snuggle.
You just enjoy snuggling. Yes. You love just laying next to somebody. That feels good for you, and you feel like it feels good enough for somebody else that they'll pay for it.
Exactly.
Is it successful so far? Do you have a lot of clients?
Successful. Tons of clients, yeah.
Tons of clients. All right.
Is this a full-time job for you?
It could be full-time, but I'm also in grad school and do rental properties, so not at the moment.
Wow, you're busy. So, in other words, you book as much time as you're willing to give to it. You've got that many clients who are ready to sign up for it.
Yeah, definitely. I book out like a week or two.
Now, I noticed from the very beginning when the story broke and you started doing interviews, everybody was always focused on the fact that it may be completely legitimate non-sexual for you, but how do you control the impulses that the clients have? I'm sure that there are guys who don't look at it that way when they come to see you.
Yeah, we review boundaries and guidelines before we actually get into a session, and I haven't ever had a problem. So
you've never had a problem?
Never had a problem.
What?
I think people overestimate that kind of issue, and it isn't really an issue to think.
On your website, there is the Q&A part, and the question was asked, what if I get sexually aroused? And you say, that's fine, happens all the time.
Yeah, it happens in massages as well, but that doesn't mean you act on it, you know?
But I guess the reason why it's turning our heads upside down here, Jackie, is that there aren't that many situations for a man where he is involved in a situation, a circumstance where he's cuddling with somebody that he doesn't also have a sexual relationship with. And it seems like that would be very confusing.
I guess it could be looked at that way, but I like to look at it more like this is something I really like to do, and hopefully it will become something that people are involved in more commonly, and it doesn't have to be about sex. And if you don't like the way society is, do something different, and then you change society. That's just how change happens.
I have an aggressive boner. I don't know if that and it turns to a mad boner, an angry boner.
Who are they? Tell me about the clients. Tell me about the guys that is it. First of all, is it 100% men who sign up for the snuggling, or do you have some lady clients as well?
Right now, it's pretty much all male clients. I interacted with a few women who might start next week, but so far it's been all male clients, and they range in ages from 25 to 82.
And what is it? I mean, could I say safely that these are men who are not in relationships and they just kind of miss the human touch? Is that what's going on with them?
Everybody is different. Some are in relationships and some aren't. It's just different for everybody.
When you snuggle with somebody, let's say 82-year-old, he's got some problems. He's not smelling so good. That's got to happen with a bunch of guys, right? You come across some that you don't want to snuggle.
I actually have never had that problem.
I have
a hygiene policy. And, well, I'm not going to say that. Once a few weeks ago, I did have that problem, but he didn't ever come back. But typically, people are very conscientious before they come to me. They take a shower. They're very conscientious.
So you're snuggling. Explain the position. Are you – is it
spooning?
All different positions. Spooning, whatever. All different positions, yeah.
Okay, so maybe your head on his chest, whatever.
Exactly, yeah.
Huh. Are you guys in a bed or on a couch or what?
Bed, yeah. Or you can do couch either way.
And do you talk during their session?
Everybody's different. Some people talk, some people don't.
Has anyone ever fallen asleep?
Nope.
Can they face you when you're snuggling?
Yes, I like that.
You like that.
What's your relationship status, Jackie?
I'm single.
Okay. I was trying to imagine for the clients. You said some of the clients are in relationships and their partners know about it and are okay with a guy paying to snuggle with another woman?
I think some of their partners do know about it, and I think some of their partners don't know about it.
Right. And would you say that the business, the snuggery, has been successful enough so far that you could see something like this taken off nationwide?
I think if other people pursue it, it absolutely would take off nationwide.
So you're telling me, if I'm not mistaken, that out of all the snuggling you've done, no guy has tried to take it further? He put his hand on your hip?
Maybe people have suggested that, but you just need to remind them of the boundaries, and it's not like anyone is forceful or puts me in a feeling where I feel at risk or uncomfortable ever.
I have a deaf boner. So I wouldn't be able to hear that.
Do you have a chaperone or a stun gun or anything like that to kind of help you out if needed?
A blow dart?
No, the way the property is situated, the cabin that I work out of is located next to other houses and cabins, so there's always somebody around in the general area, but I've never had like a specific person designated for security.
Cabin? You're in the woods? Are you in the woods?
Not really. There's woods around me, but it's in a suburban area.
Lisa, is this blowing your mind that this exists?
It's amazing to me that people would pay this much. Like, how do you not fall asleep?
I can tell you I wouldn't.
Or are you asking Jackie? How does Jackie not fall asleep, you mean?
Yeah.
How do I not fall asleep?
Yeah. I mean, how many clients in a day do you have?
No more than 5, but usually not that many.
But an hour is the minimum amount of time, right?
45 minutes, but most people do at least an hour. Some do an hour and a half.
All right, one more thing for you. And again, if you want to check out the website, if you're going to be in New York, you should look up thesnuggery.org. And we're talking to Jackie Samuels. I was also fascinated to see that not everybody has to pay you in cash. You also accept barter, right?
I have a bartering policy. Yeah, I love my bartering policy.
So, for instance, automotive services. I can come in and I go, hey, you snuggle with me for 45 minutes, Jackie, and I'll change your oil. And that's the trade-off.
Exactly.
You'd be fine with that.
That'd be fine. I would love that. Yeah.
What about a trade for sex?
No, I wouldn't do that because I don't need that.
I see. Okay.
Kevin seems strangely obsessed with one aspect
of
this story.
I can't imagine there's a guy on the planet.
But Jackie is telling you there is. She's telling you there's lots of them.
There's tons. And you think about it, touch is one of the most basic human needs. Why wouldn't there be? You know?
Agreed. I'm not saying they don't enjoy the snuggling. I'm just saying how does any guy not have that next thought?
Because you're the only mad rapist on the line here,
Kevin. I am
not.
How dare you?
I think it's fascinating. I mean, it's the first time I ever heard about it, and it's interesting that you pursued, like you said at the beginning, Jackie, you pursued something that you enjoyed, and you figured out a way to make money off of it. More power to you.
Yeah, thank you.
Do you have extras?
Do I what?
Have extras?
Extras?
Yeah, for extra tips.
I don't know what she means either.
I have no idea what you mean.
Never mind.
TheSnuggery.org is the website. If you want to check it out, you can follow Jackie on Twitter at SnuggeryInfo. Jackie, thanks so much for coming on.
Thank you.
Okay, bye. What a terrible tweeter she would be, honestly. 106.7 K-Rock is KROQ, and this is the Kevin and Bean Show at 27 minutes after 7 o'clock.
I wonder if Gwen Stefani has extras.
extras. What, she has other people work for her? Work around? No, extras. What, that she has so many cuddles to give away, she doesn't know what to do with them? No, come on, extras.
I was perplexed that no one understood me.
You still, always are.
Still am.
That was classic.
Yeah.
Hey, yesterday here on the Kevin and Bean Show, thank you so much for tuning in today. It is Wednesday on the Kevin and Bean Show. It's 7:26. Yesterday on the show, Ralph was talking about the ongoing K-Stew and Arpat's breakup, and there may be a struggle over who gets the family dog, Bear. Do I have that right, Ralph?
Bear.
They may be fighting over who gets Bear. And Lisa May, for the first time ever, her ears prick up, and she jumps in, and she's like,
first
I can solve.
Well,
yeah. You're not
usually
paying attention
listening.
For a minute.
Right. Right. She's actually listening to something Ralph was talking about. She's like, guys, I know how to solve this problem.
This is easy. There's always one person that takes better care of the dog than the other person. That person gets the dog, and the other person has to get a new dog. That's case closed. Next case.
And she was just so comfortable with dispensing that advice. It was so clear to her that I think, Ralph, you came up with the idea that she is some sort of pet judge, right? She needs to be – there needs to be a show or something where she can solve disputes that have to do with pets, because she seems to have very clear-cut ideas of how the world should run.
If there's a Judge Judy, there should be a pet Judge Lisa is what I came to the conclusion.
I agree.
That is my passion.
Yes.
Because I am certain that there must be a lot of a lot of controversy and decisions that are tough to be made because of pets, right? Well, I mean, people who get into an argument over something to do with an animal.
Well, I mean, you have five dogs or something like that, right?
Three, right?
Oh, okay, you used to have five, sorry.
Yeah, they're dropping flies up there on the island.
But, I mean, they sleep in bed with you?
Sure. Not all at once. There's not enough room. We rotate them.
Sure.
But you rotate them like tires.
You don't ever have an argument with your wife about which one or anything
not
like
really,
that?
Not really. But it's also not uncommon for somebody to get up and go to another room because somebody is a bed hog or snoring too much, too. You know, one of the dogs. But, I mean, you know.
Who's
as a pretty,
somebody? Are you talking about your dogs when you say somebody?
I think he talks about his wife like that. Somebody. You know, just somebody. That other,
no,
the other person that lives with him.
The non-me person.
The non-animal that doesn't count.
I'm saying, like, Veruca is a bed hog. Like, she sprawls out and takes up, you know, most of the bed, and also snores like crazy. So it's not uncommon for either Donna or me to get up and just move to another room.
Whoa, time out. You leave the room instead of the dog?
What's happening?
We have other bedrooms. It's not that big a deal.
Oh, for Christ's
sake. It's not that big a deal to put
the
dog in another.
This is a whole other thing.
But we're talking about the fact that pets, for a lot of people, are like children. And as in the case with children, often there are disagreements about how to rear the pets, how to handle them, decisions that have to be made about their care. And sometimes two people, especially in a relationship, can be at odds with each other about how that should be done.
That can be a mild case. You could be breaking up, like our Pats and Case do, and they can't figure out who gets the dog.
Right. It's pretty extreme.
Lisa can rule on that as well.
Uh-huh. And I'd also like to point out, for instance, I've had troubles in my neighborhood as a result of neighbor's pets, for instance.
You had that rooster killed, remember?
Sure,
I did not have the rooster killed.
That's right.
But
so
I mean,
guess that the answer to that is just to ask your neighbor to take care of
it. No, I'm saying
the death penalty. That's another case for Lisa.
What I'm saying is that would have been, for instance, if Lisa May Pet Judge had been around, I could have come to her and I could have said, my neighbor has a rooster that makes god-awful noise 21 hours of every day,
right,
and I've already talked to him about it and he won't do anything about it. What should I do? And then I could have gotten some sort of a ruling maybe, and it would have ended up differently than it did.
No, it would end up dead.
Yeah. Pet Judge Lisa would give it the death penalty.
Wow. Yes. I don't think Lisa's capable of that, but she's willing to take your calls if you're having any kind of pet arguments. If you have arguments about your pets, give us a call, 1-800-520-1067. It's very clear to Lisa. She has no questions in this area.
Absolutely.
No gray area.
I don't know why anyone would.
It's all black and white. So
she will settle your case.
That's correct. She will settle your case. But all rulings are final.
Oh, of course.
Is that correct?
And you have to do it.
You have
it's
legally binding.
It's legally binding, right?
Because Lisa has been given a certificate by the...
by who?
Oh, wait a minute. No, she has no authority whatsoever.
That's correct. Right.
But still, it's legally binding.
She'll guess.
1-800-520-1067. That's our toll-free number here at the Kevin and Bean Show. If there's any kind of a pet dispute, Lisa May is going to solve it for you. 1-800-520-1067. Call now. We'll talk to you next. Do not ask her if she has any extras. Adam Carolla on the program today. Also, Ariane Celeste will be joining us first, though. Time for Lisa May, Pet Judge.
What you're about to witness is real. The participants are not actors. They are the actual people who are way too wrapped up in their pets and should probably kill themselves.
Wait a minute!
These parties have agreed to dismiss their cases and have their disputes settled here in our forum with Pet Judge Lisa.
Fantastic.
Okay. Pet Judge Lisa.
Yes.
You ready?
Yes.
Bailiff, who's our first contestant?
The litigants are now entering the courtroom.
Oh, sorry,
Alex
litigants.
Says his wife is pregnant until the baby is born. He wants the dog out of the house, or perhaps his wife does. Either way, it's the case of the dog in the doghouse.
Aw. Oh.
Hello, Kevin and Bean. Good morning.
Hi, hey, Alex.
Hi, Alex.
Hi, Lisa May. Good morning. Hey, really quick. So about a year ago, my wife went in the house. We got a little mulchy poo.
Okay.
Now she's about 6 months pregnant. And everything the dog does irritates the hell out of her. He can be on the bed, like, licking his paws. Get him off the bed, or else I'm going to kick him off. And, you know, I'm the one kind of defending him now and saying, like, stop treating him that way. It's not that big of a deal. So sometimes she gets to the point where it's like, just take him to your mom's house until after I have the baby, and then, you know, maybe I'll want him back then.
This is the kind of woman you want raising a child, by the way. She sounds very loving, very loving.
Like,
She loves animals. Like, she loves the dog, but just right now, it irritates everything. Everything it does just irritates her.
Lisa, you know? How do you see this one?
So she wants the dog out of the house, like out in the yard all the time? Born.
Not necessarily out in the yard, but sometimes, like, just anything it does, you know, like...
But she wants the dog in someone else's house, like your mom's or something, until the baby's born.
Exactly. Yeah. Sometimes she does. Sometimes she'll be, you know, she's fine with him, but other times, like, you know, we're arguing about it because she's just...
All right,
like,
Judge Lisa, what does he do about his irritable bitch wife?
Here's the deal. You get a dog, you make a deal with that dog, and that is that you are going to handle that dog and keep that dog for the rest of its life, unless it bites someone or something. So, no, the dog does not go someplace else while she's having her little issues. The dog stays there. If you can maybe use a doggy gate to get the dog into another room for a couple of hours to give her a break, that's fine, but you don't give the dog away for, you know, several months. That's just wrong.
Police has ruled.
There you go.
All right.
And apparently
you,
someone's
Alex.
Knocking on the door to come in, too.
It's not you, boo-hoo for the multi-poo.
All right. Who's our next litigant?
The next litigant is entering the courtroom, Vidal. Vidal says the neighbor's dog uses his yard as a poo-poo platter.
Uh-oh.
Hey, Vidal.
Hey, how's it going, guys?
Good. All right. So the neighbor's dog, are these dogs roaming free?
Well, they're inside the house, but when they want to use the restroom, they
probably use that word so much as pooping would
Let's
be
say
a better choice.
Poo-poo.
Yeah. So the neighbor,
but this is out in the front yard. They're letting their dogs run out, and that's illegal.
Yeah, well, and they start barking at people and scaring little kids. I'm like,
So there's no fence in your neighbor's yard. They can just come over onto your property whenever they want, and they do.
Well, there's a fence, but. They get around it.
They get around it. And have you spoken to the neighbor already about this, or is this the first time you're dealing with the issue?
Well, first time dealing with the issue, you know, I haven't said anything at all to them.
Yeah.
How many times has it happened?
Well, it happens, like, whenever they need to use restroom. So
like every day?
Every day.
Yeah, but they choose, like, the weirdest times, like, before I go to sleep, like, around 11.
Okay, we don't need to know the times the dog's poop. Really, not germane to the case.
Now, sometimes they go to sleep at 10:45.
There are going to be an awful lot of people hanging on your answer here, Judge Lisa, because let's face it, this is a very common problem with neighbors who do not contain their own pets. Yeah. What do you do with this?
Tough case for Judge.
All right, well, this is illegal. Dogs should not be running free. That's not safe for the dogs.
So kill them?
No.
I thought that's
you write a note to the neighbor. You can even be anonymous if you want, and you say that this is illegal and the dog's pooping in your yard, and if they don't do something, you are going to call animal control.
There you go. Lisa has ruled.
So she's bringing anonymous? The government in.
Yeah.
If you're afraid of them, then stay anonymous.
Or build a better fence. There's another option.
Or build
too.
A giant fence.
Thank you, Vidal. Hey, real quick, as an aside, Paul emails in to get to Judge Lisa. I can't call in right now, but I have to ask Judge Lisa, should I have a dog or a lion? What's your advice for Paul?
I'd go with a dog. They eat less.
A dog. Okay.
Yes.
Unless the lion is Snoop Lion.
Yes.
I think we have time for another here. Mr. Bailiff, who's up next?
Karina is now entering the courtroom. Apparently, her mother collects dogs.
Uh-oh. Uh-oh.
Hi, Karina.
Hi, Lisa May. I'm calling because my mother-in-law lives with us, and she just collects every sort of animal that is out in the world. So,
what
any
has she got?
We have, like, three dogs. We have cats. I mean, everything's outside. All the animals are outside. But, I mean, parrots, birds, everything. And I sometimes get rid of them, you know, by letting them out on the street. But
no.
She lets them out on the
street. No.
This is horrible.
Oh, man.
You can't do that. Jeez.
I just leave that gate open.
You're the worst problem solver ever.
No, wait. She lives with you. You don't live with her?
Yeah, no.
Important
it's your house.
Thank you, Lisa.
Yeah.
That's right.
Yeah. So, yeah, these are your
but
rules.
It's because my daughter, my five-year-old, is like a big animal freak. And so, you know, I know she does it for her, but we don't even take care of them. Like, I don't even know who feeds them.
This is like hoarding.
Oh,
this
no,
is terrible.
This is horrible. And by the way, you can't just stuff a bunch of animals in your backyard and just leave them there to rot. I mean, that's no way for them to live.
They get fed, but I don't.
By somebody.
Know, it's not constant.
This is scandalous.
Kevin and Bean. Cats die every day.
This is terrible.
If I was ruling, I would say let your mom out the front door.
Leave the gate open. Maybe she'll wander out into the traffic.
All right, you got a lot of problems here, Judge Lisa. What are you going to do? How
you going to solve this?
Puppy leg for the mom.
Puppy leg for the mom.
Wow. Yeah. Throwing them on the
streets. Lisa says you should murder your mother-in-law. That's what she's saying.
Lisa has
and
rules.
This is the worst courtroom ever.
She shouldn't own any pets either. All of those dogs and cats should be turned over to the authorities. Right, Lisa?
They should be turned over to no-kill shelters.
But not just let out in the front?
No.
They should be turned over
no.
to a burlap bag and a cinder block.
No, oh,
and
no,
a swimming
no.
pool
that's
is what
mom.
They is what
that's
they should
true.
Be turned
that's
over to.
All right.
Get a big bowl of antifreeze.
Nope. No, don't even joke about that.
Put it on your porch.
Not funny. Not funny.
Sit back, pop a beer, and watch the fireworks.
Nope. That is not true. That is not the ruling of this court. Let's hear it for Judge Lisa Lee.
Yeah.
That's all the time we have for today, but
very
thanks for stopping by.
You home tonight.
Is that a chicken singing?
I'm
going to
bring back Cluck in the Hits. Cluck in
the
Hits. My favorite game.
That was pretty good.
Hits. I love Cluck in the Hits.
I forget about Cluck in the Hits. I like it. Speaking of games on the Kevin and Bean Show, we're going to give you a chance to be on the red carpet with Will Ferrell and Zach Galifianakis for their new film, The Campaign. That's coming up next hour, plus Adam Carolla right now. Ralph's got the showbiz beat here on a Wednesday. What's going on?
I mentioned yesterday that the nominations for the MTV Video Music Awards were listed online if you wanted to check those out. And I did a little research. And since the beginning of MTV, they have a list of the most VMAs won by an artist.
Okay.
And I thought it'd be an interesting little game to play.
At one time?
Overall. For a career. Since the beginning of the VMAs.
Right.
I think this is their 29th one coming up. Does that make sense? Could it be?
That sounds about right, yeah.
Through 2011, through last year's Video Music Awards, the list of the artists with the most lifetime VMA wins. I think you will be surprised by these numbers.
Madonna?
Madonna's number one, Kevin. Good guess.
Yeah. Wow. Yes! I was so confident with it.
20 VMAs she has won.
I would have guessed
career.
Michael Jackson. That would have been my guess. For
Michael
one.
Jackson has only won 8.
That is shocking.
He's in 11th place.
I thought he would have won 8 just for the videos from the Thriller album.
There's a tie with him, the Red Hot Chili Peppers, and this is the reason I love this list, A-ha.
All right.
A-ha, Michael Jackson, and Red Hot Chili Peppers all have 8.
A-ha tied Michael Jackson.
Yes.
And they must have won all of theirs the year of the Take On.
They must have.
That was the video of the year. But
yeah. Smashing Pumpkins, NSYNC, and Justin Timberlake are all tied with 7. You know who's got more VMAs than Michael Jackson?
Britney Spears.
Janet.
Janet Jackson has more than Michael.
Janet has 9, tied with Fatboy Slim, who also has 9. I guess it's for that that dance video, right?
Yeah.
That was a big hit with Christopher Walken.
Christopher Walken. Rockefeller Skank, yeah.
Yeah. Aerosmith has 10.
Surprising.
Green Day, Eminem, and Beyonce are all tied with 11. REM has 12. And second place, there's a tie between two artists, and I think you'll be surprised by one of them.
Okay.
Lady Gaga is one of them. I'll give you the easy one. Lady Gaga has 13 VMAs. As we mentioned, of course, Madonna already has the most with 20. But who do you think Lady Gaga is tied with?
Big Baby Jesus.
Big Baby Jesus is correct.
And this is the... where are we at? We're
this
the
is
second,
second
most
yeah,
VMAs.
This is the tie with for the second most VMAs. Madonna's
I'm
first with 20. Lady Gaga is second with 13 VMAs, but she is tied with another artist, and I could give you all day. I don't think you're going to get it.
Rubastank.
Really? Rubastank.
You would give us all day, and we wouldn't get it. That's a
It'll
that's
make sense when you hear it. You go, oh, yes, because I remember those videos were monster hits. And heavy rotation back in the day when MTV played videos. But I don't think it would pop to your mind as someone you think of automatically as sort
That's
of a,
challenging.
An MTV video artist.
You George were, Michael.
No, not George Michael. Good guess, though.
Frankie know. Goes to Hollywood.
Nope. Isn't it
Duran Duran.
George Michael's not in the top 14 artists.
Duran Duran. Wow, because he had some big videos. How about Duran Duran? They
Duran
had some
Duran
of the most
also
videos.
Not in the top 14 artists.
Well, I'm out then.
Limp Bizkit, good guess. Muggs.
Yeah.
I don't know.
I'm not going to take up too much time, but Peter Gabriel.
Really? Obviously.
Peter Gabriel has 13 VMAs.
Yeah, he was
Remember
he
Sledgehammer
was
and
yeah.
All those?
Big Time was
big
hugely
time.
Popular.
That one album he had a ton of videos that got heavy rotation and people really were crazy about him.
Yep.
So he must have won a bunch.
I would not have come up with that. You're right, Ralph. Yeah. I mean, that name is just That's lost to time.
So there's a little trivia for you. You can win some bar bets this weekend or some coffee bets at the office or whatever you bet.
However you bet.
However you bet. Robert Pattinson, we were just talking about him and his girlfriend Kristen Stewart going through a hard time, splitting up their belongings, including their dog Bear. By the way, they settled that. They cut the dog in half,
which
I think is a reasonable.
That would have been
reasonable.
Advice.
That would have been pet
and
judge.
Each one gets a Tupperware with half a dog.
That seems bad.
Friends say he is in bad shape, nursing a seriously broken heart. There have been rumors swirling that he's been seen in London in the club scene, drinking heavily in bars there. But other sources are saying he is still holed up here somewhere in Southern California, riding out his severe depression, friends are calling it, and indecision as to whether or not to forgive his longtime girlfriend, Kristen Stewart, for her affair with Rupert Sanders, director of her film Snow White and the Huntsman.
Well, how's a guy like Robert Pattinson ever going to get another woman?
I know.
And that's really the hard part for him. No one will date him.
We should maybe talk to our Pats this week, see how he's doing. See what's
good idea.
Up. You know, I bet this is good for his songwriting, though. I bet he's coming up with some beautiful, some heart-wrenching blues numbers.
His guitar really is his only friend.
It really is. So. And as if you needed another sign of the upcoming apocalypse, Dennis Rodman has just announced his children's book.
I'm sorry?
Dennis Rodman has written a children's book. He has written a story called Dennis the Wild Bull. That will convey good lessons to children, Dennis says, based on his own experiences.
This is a lie that you're saying right now.
This is all true. Word is, Dennis has reconnected with his father and wants to get closer to his own kids, so he believes that this book he has written will help.
That's a terrible idea.
The book will be released later this year, Dennis the Wild Bull. I wonder if he got the idea because he wears that giant ring through his nose. He looks like a bull, and that's where he got the idea.
And he used to be
from
a bull.
Hey, there you go. Wow. See how it all comes together?
But a kid will see him on the cover, and then they'll be scared to death.
Dennis the Wild Bull put on a wedding dress and went down to where the transvestites live, under the bridge, down by Dingley Dell.
Does this have anything to do with the hundreds of thousands of dollars in debt he is to the IRS?
I believe this may have
baby mamas,
to do.
And he's just looking for any way to make money.
Yes. I saw him buy an overpass recently.
Is
making
that right?
$200 an hour.
Wow, that's a lot.
That's what I found out. Today's celebrity birthdays, director Sam Mendes is 47 years old today. He was married to the delicious Kate Winslet.
Yeah.
That's a loss.
Yeah,
that's a loss
yeah it
when,
is.
When she goes away. Adam Duritz of Counting Crows is 48 years old today. Rapper Coolio is 49. Chuck D of Public Enemy turns 52. Joe Elliott, lead singer for Def Leppard, celebrates his 53rd birthday. And radio personality Tom Likas is 56 years old. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the show business.
Kevin Bean, new Kevin Bean theme by the Lonely Island. They're gonna play it every day from now on. Contractually bound to play it every day, and they will get sued if they don't.
As you can see, we have no choice. We have to play. We're contractually bound to play the Lonely Island Kevin and Bean song. So there it is for you today. So we're off the hook for another day.
Oh, good.
Adam Carolla later this hour, also your chance to rub shoulders with Will Ferrell on the red carpet world premiere of his new film called The Campaign. Also the great Zach Galifianakis. We'll tell you about that in a minute. First, though, Kevin, I know you've been enjoying the Olympics every night when you go home.
I have.
Huge firestorm of controversy. I know that every time the Olympics are not in our time zone, it is somewhat frustrating because NBC, who always has the summer games, they hold all the events for nighttime. Which is their right to do, but it ticks people off. But this year, it seems like more than ever, it's thunderous, the complaints. It's a cacophony of people complaining that everything is spoiled by time it finally airs 6, 8, 10 hours later in prime time.
I'm not among that group, though, because that's weird to me, because there's so much going on, it's impossible to pay attention to all of it. By the time it gets to be, time for coverage, I'm surprised by 90% of it. Like, I'm not online all day, every day, so I don't see spoilers.
Yeah, if you really wanted to keep it from yourself, couldn't you?
As long as you don't watch the news or you don't listen to the radio.
I don't do either of those.
Well, we wanted to find out if we should be ticked at NBC or if they're just doing what they're supposed to be doing, which is returning, getting eyeballs to their advertisers for the commercials and how expensive they are in primetime. So we turn to our friend Mike Snyder, who, of course, is the L.A. Bureau Chief of TV Guide Magazine. Mr. Snyder, welcome back to the Kevin and Bean Show. How are you?
Kevin and Bean. It's the Kevin and Bean Show.
Wow.
Nice to you guys.
And
Lisa May. Lisa May, how's it going?
It's going good, thank you.
And I'm not lying. Every time there's an Olympics, people complain. But doesn't it seem like the complaints are getting louder and louder and louder? We are really now a generation that expects everything live all the time, always, right?
Yeah. And it's gotten noisier this time because this is really the first Twitter era Olympics. So now everyone's on Twitter. It's hashtag NBC fail. People now have an outlet to join others and all bitch about NBC's coverage.
But isn't it really just all people without jobs?
it's people with jobs who are obviously not doing their jobs, which is probably most of us. So, but yeah, it's an ongoing complaint, but it's always going to be a complaint because at the end of the day, it works for NBC. The ratings are there, people are watching, so they're sort of saying, yeah, we know you hate us, but you love us at the same time.
Let's talk about the ratings then. Well, it's doing super well.
It's doing super well. Okay. It's up from the Beijing Olympics. It's a record-breaking opening ceremony. It's doing well.
And I heard Saturday and Sunday night, maybe I'm wrong on this, but Saturday and Sunday night were also among the highest nights ever for Summer Olympics coverage, too, right? Like, everything is up across the board, even though, as I pointed out, so many people know who's going to win or lose the races and events before they air.
Yeah. I think, you know, part of it is at some point you still want to be a part of that community. You still want to watch in prime time. You want to see it maybe condensed down, see the best parts of things. And, you know, there are a lot of people who can't watch during the day. They are working. They don't have time to you know, fire up the computer.
They have lives.
But, again, Kevin, you're painting with such a broad stroke here. Look, if I'm interested, if I'm following presidential politics right now and I want to watch the news, I can't do that without there being Olympic spoilers on the bottom of the screen or in between news breaks or something like that. I mean, literally, you have to have a blackout on media if you want to avoid Olympic spoilers. It's not as easy as you make it seem.
Yeah,
if you want to cover
no
anything else.
Answer.
Well, I don't watch TV news, so it's hard for me to. But go ahead.
What do you think, Mike, of the coverage that, because there have also been some complaints that some of the people, you know, you always hear this too. It's 90% Americans that are being covered, and there are people who are ticked off about that. Other people are ticked off that Ryan Seacrest is part of the NBC Olympic team this year. What are you hearing from your readers at TV Guide about how they feel NBC is handling the games this year?
Yeah, I mean, it's mostly negative. The criticism's been pretty fierce. I mean, especially coming down on things like Seacrest and the stuff that NBC always does that everyone always hates, but they still keep doing, you know, like the very pro-American stuff or the, you know, there may be too many features and not enough coverage of the actual event.
If you don't like it, you can move out. Right?
But, you know, but then at the same time, people are still watching. So NBC is kind of laughing. You know, NBC said they were going to lose money on the games, but as of today, they're now saying they're actually going to break even. They're actually, they spent $2 billion on these games. So at the end of the day, their main focus is to make sure people tune in, and apparently people still tune in. So, you know, until people stop watching, it's not going to change.
How is it as a platform, and one of the reasons the network wants an event like this or the Super Bowl, the World Series or anything, is it gives you the opportunity to expand your brand, to launch new shows. How are they doing, in your opinion, in terms of, you know, whetting our appetite for the new Michael Perry show or whatever else they're promoting?
Right. I mean, they're definitely flooding the zone with promos, which they should. That's part of the reason why they spent $2 billion on the Olympics. They need people to show up at NBC. And as you know, NBC is the last place network. They need eyeballs. They need people to get to know what their new shows are. We'll see if it actually translates into people tuning in. It hasn't in the past. You know, in the past they've promoted shows like Father of the Pride, things that quickly went away. So we'll see if this helps this time out.
And do you think, as we wrap up with Michael Schneider, the TV Guide magazine, LA Bureau Chief, so they're clearly aware of the hashtag NBC fail. They clearly know that it's all happening, but they basically just say, look, we don't care. What we're doing is working. And they do offer, they do say, hey, it is available for streaming for people who insist on seeing it live as it happens, right?
That's exactly what they say, and you know, they also have coverage during the day on all sorts of different networks, NBC Sports Network and a couple other networks as well. So they say, listen, we're giving it to you if you want it live, if you want to stream it, or if you just want sort of you know, the bite-sized packages in prime time.
All right, let me ask you one more question, because we had a raging debate on this program. Every year when the Olympics come around, every 4 years when they come around, we talk about Bob Costas. I'm a huge fan of Bob Costas. I think he is smart. I think he's articulate. I think he's interesting. Kevin thinks he's just a blowhard and a dick. What's your ruling as a television professional, Bob Costas?
Oh, come on.
I'm asking
as a human being.
Do you think he's smug?
You know, if you were asking me about Seacrest, it would be a different answer. But, you know, I still kind of like Bob. I don't know what it is. There's maybe that sort of comfortable, familiar feeling of seeing him there.
He's just so smug.
Know.
He knows he's better than you, and he is. All right, but you don't have to rub it in.
Kevin thinks he talks down to the audience. I don't. What do you think? You're the TV professional. We need a ruling
TV
on this.
Professional.
We need a ruling on this.
I know, and I heard you guys the other day when you were talking about the opening ceremonies, which, by the way, are still going on.
That's correct.
It's almost over. It's almost over. But, you know, some of those facts are pretty ridiculous, but you almost now enjoy listening to just how ridiculous some of those stories are. And I don't know. I take it with a grain of salt. I laugh at that kind of stuff.
So he's on my side, it sounds like. He's ruling that Bob Costas is
not
a dick.
He's not ruling anything. He's a dude with an opinion.
He needs a gavel.
He's a television professional. That's why I'm saying his opinion is a tiebreaker.
Bob's a dick! Dick! Dick!
Now saying you got the TV Guide guy, I got the song.
Michael Schneider is the TV Guide Magazine Los Angeles Bureau Chief. You can follow him on Twitter, and you should, at Franklin Avenue. Thanks so much for joining us today, man. We enjoyed it.
See you guys.
Thank you. Bye now.
All right. If you want to go to the world premiere of The Campaign, we are going to do Title Fight next. 1-800-520-1067. This is the new movie with Will Ferrell and Zach Galifianakis, The Campaign. Call now. We'll play.
Adam Carolla coming up next here on the show right now. How about Will Ferrell, Zach Galifianakis, and you on the red carpet at the world premiere tomorrow night of The Campaign at the Gramlins Chinese Theater. By the way, the movie doesn't open until a week from Friday, August the 10th. We're going to play a little game we like to call Kevin and Bean Title Fight.
Presenting Kevin and Bean's Title Fight. Two people enter the ring. Only one leaves with the tickets. Let's get ready to go to a
movie.
All right, let's meet our first contestant, shall we? I think we've got Bryce on line 5, I think is who we're going to here.
Hey, Bryce.
Hey, Kevin and Bean, Lisa May.
Hi, Bryce.
Hey, Bryce, here's what we're going to do here. We're going to give you the choice of who you'd like to be your partner in the Kevin and Bean title fight. You can either have Lisa May, who's awesome, or Dave, who sucks. It's your choice. So you pick who you want, and since you got to pick, we're also going to make you go first.
All right, you know what? I'm going to risk it and go with Dave.
All right.
That's
good
right.
For
you want to win. You want to go to this
really
movie.
You really want to go, do you?
Wow. You're going to be busy or what? You just can't make
it. All right. Correct me if I'm wrong here, Kevin, but if I recall correctly, 45 seconds on the clock. Lisa is going to be describing the titles of Will Ferrell movies this time without using any of the words, without describing the, or Lisa and Dave, right? Without describing the movie itself, just trying to get them to say the words. And if the caller doesn't know or wants more time to think about it, they can always pass and come back to it later if there's time at the end, right?
Yes.
Okay, 45 seconds on the clock. Dave is going to be your partner, and you are going first. You ready to play, Bryce?
Sounds good.
Let's do it, Bryce.
All right, not new, but...
old school.
Right on. Let's see. If you're weird, you know, another word
you're
for weird...
Strange, stranger than fiction.
Yep. A boat drops this, you know...
Anchorman.
All right.
Wow.
Let's see. This is up in the sky. It's bright. It's nighttime.
Moon. Oh, damn it.
It's the night. It's the north.
Moon. It's
the north.
The north star.
Yeah. Now. It's blank man.
Star.
Blank man. He's
Batman.
No.
Superman.
Yep. Put it together.
Superstar.
Yep.
Superstar.
All right.
Wow.
I don't even know that one.
What the hell is Superstar?
What is it?
Superstar
either. What the hell is that?
Superstar was that one that was based on the Saturday Night Live sketch about the cheerleaders, remember? And Will Ferrell was in it. It's a movie.
Molly, what's her name? Molly Shannon, yeah.
All right, Bryce actually deserves those tickets.
Bryce! Way to go, Bryce. That was, I mean, seriously, first of all, Dave did a good job, but you were a phenomenal contestant to get 4 in 45 seconds. That is going to be tough for Chuck to beat, but good luck. Let's hang on
Chuck
and find out if you win
it.
The tickets. Yeah, but Chuck does have Lisa, so he does have that edge here.
You know what?
Hi, Chuck.
Good morning, Kevin and Bean, Lisa. That's who I wanted. I wanted Lisa.
So this worked out great. What did you think about Bryce, though? He's a hell of a contestant, right?
Yeah, he's very good, but I'm better.
All right.
Okay.
Good.
Let's wait and see.
45 seconds on the clock. Will Ferrell movie titles. Good luck.
These are siblings who are not related.
Stepbrothers.
All right. When you have a knife, you have a... What cuts on a knife?
Blades of Glory.
All right. This is a slow song. It's called...
Pass.
When you're on the ground and you're pounding your fists and you're yelling, what are you doing? You're having a fit.
Kicking and screaming.
Uh-huh. This is a place where you don't know where you are. You are...
Bewitched?
No, you can't find your way, so you're... What
Land
are
of
you?
Lost. Land of Lost.
This is in the evening. So it's not day, but it's... No, not day, but...
Sorry.
Oh. Yeah! Woo! Tie!
He did a great job, Chuck.
You did a
he
phenomenal did. Job. The slow song that Lisa was trying to get you to think of the word ballad. She was trying to get to Talladega Nights, the ballad of Ricky Bobby. And then the not daytime was Night at the Roxbury is where she was going with that one. But great contestant. All right, we have a tie. We are almost out of time. What do you think about giving both of our contestants tickets today?
Oh, that'd be cool.
This is the first time I feel like they both deserve it.
Seriously, nobody slept. Congratulations, cool. Bryce and Chuck. You will meet the guys on the red carpet tomorrow night in Hollywood. Thanks for playing the title fight.
Thanks for playing Kevin and Bean's title fight.
Oh, yeah!
106.7 K-Rock and KROQ. It's the Kevin and Bean Show at 8:39.
Ariana Celeste? Is it Ariana Celeste now? Are we talking to Ariana Celeste?
Creepy alert up?
Yeah, no, I'm just keeping an eye on this.
After the top of the hour. Take it easy.
Do you want her to come in or not? Stop it.
Yes, I'm just... Is it now?
Creepy alert.
Just tone it down a bit. Just a bit.
Oh, it's Corolla. Wow, what a drop-off. What a drop-off that is from Ariana Celeste. Hey, Adam Corolla, how are you, my friend?
Doing great, my friends.
Adam is going to be live on stage at the Irvine Improv tonight with his special guest, Doug Benson, who is hilarious. That's a value right there for just $25. Tickets are available right now. And, of course, Saturday night at the Lovitz. Tickets are available for both of those shows through AdamCorolla.com. And Adam's new book is Not Taco Bell Material in stores now. I wanted to ask you before we get into This Week in Rage. I was just thinking about you during the Olympics, Adam. You must be furious to see water polo getting all this attention right now.
Oh, it's by the way, water polo, let's be honest, there's not a human being on that team that did not first try to make the swim team and get caught, and then try to make the dive team and get caught, right?
Right.
It's the gutter. It's a gutter for guys who aren't that fast at swimming but have, like, it's Rudy in an aquarium. It's just guys with a total work ethic.
Well,
but that's not, listen. We could all, it's one of those things where everyone goes, yeah, but that's pretty amazing what those guys do. And it's like, right, if I pushed you over the side of a boat, you could do it overnight as well. You'd have to. But that doesn't make you a gifted athlete.
I want you in the stands in London continuously during the match going, Marco Polo.
No, I'll change it to Adam Corolla.
That's right.
Of course, Adam Corolla. That's
right.
That's
no one knows who Marco Polo is.
That's anymore. Right. Good
exactly.
Point.
All right. Adam Corolla, This Week in Rage now on the Kevin and Bean Show.
It's time for This Week
in Rage.
Well, starting with three and working up to number one, I'm going to change up gears and start with two, go to three, and then go to one because I'm talking about swimming and you're talking about the Olympics and you're talking about polo. I want to talk about fencing. This is Olympic sword fighting.
Right.
This should be the most exciting event in the Olympics. It really should. It's sword fighting.
Sure.
Somebody said, hey, do you want to watch guys swim, or would you rather watch them sword fight? By the way, there's not a lot of movies that have swimming scenes in them.
Swimming races?
But there are millions of movies that have sword fighting scenes in them because they're exciting, but yet we've turned fencing into the most boring sport at the Olympics. It's over before it begins. I don't even know what's happening. I don't even know who wins most of the time. They stand 8 feet apart. They both charge each other at the same time. Somebody sets an air horn off, and then somebody throws their mask off and celebrates. And I don't even know what happened.
And nobody ever gets cut, which is the whole point of a knife fight.
Nobody avenges the death of their father. Look, I'm just saying they have compulsories in ice skating, right? They go, before the freestyle, you have to skate a figure eight.
Right.
There should be compulsories in sword fighting, in fencing. And it should be, first thing, boom, candelabra. You have to take all the candles off without them falling off the thing. All the great stuff. You have to, this would be the compulsory part, but it would be the most exciting part about fencing. You have to hold your foil against another guy's throat without cutting him, and make some sort of veiled threat about your woman or avenging the loss of your father or something, but you can't leave a mark. I've seen it in every movie. You know how much skill it takes to hold a sword against another guy's throat and not even leave a mark?
I don't know how
but
much.
You can't have, you can have no daylight between them. You have, and that guy has to have a crazy mustache.
Okay.
And there has to be that move where at some point you go for the other guy's sword that's on the ground and flip it back up to him,
I
and
like
it never hurts him.
I like it.
He never grabs the wrong end and goes, oh, God damn. Come on, dude. He said almost hit me in the eye. Just the compulsory part of the sword. You have to put a Z in somebody's shirt, you know. Oh, oh, oh.
Without cutting them.
Yeah, oh, the best one. Yeah, and the best one is you have to slash a rope and drop a chandelier on like eight guys and trap them. That I would watch.
That would be a can't-miss Olympic event. I think you're right, Adam.
So we're living in a world where watching dudes play volleyball on the beach and watching dudes swim is 10 times more exciting than watching a sword fight.
That's a good point. If they just removed all of the padding, maybe.
Honestly, I'd rather... it's more exciting to watch guys play ping pong than sword fight. What have you done to my sword? Come on, Olympics, straighten this out. All right. Number two. Something's going on with food. I need somebody to be a food czar. I've said this many times. We're spinning out of control. I was on a flight to Montreal last weekend. I was sitting up there and in first class, and I ordered chicken parmesan. Now, what could go wrong with chicken parmesan?
Not much.
Nothing. It's impossible.
Yeah.
Stouffer's makes an excellent chicken parmesan. There's nothing you can do to a chicken parmesan. Prison chicken parmesan is just fine. What do I get? I get chicken, I get Parmesan cheese, and then I get some sort of gelatinous white gravy poured on top of it. And I said, where's the pasta sauce? Where's the red sauce? And they said, oh, that's how we do it. And I said, well, that's not chicken Parmesan. And they said, yeah, that's our chicken Parmesan. I said, well, first off, if you're not going to bring me what I ordered, please tell me, do not expect chicken Parmesan. And then I thought about my club sandwich that I ordered in Phoenix that was nothing but a ham on a Kaiser roll, and then my huevos rancheros in Vegas that was a breakfast burrito. And I thought, somebody's got to be in charge of that.
So you want to pick up the phone and call a food czar?
I want a food czar to preside over this stuff, and they will tell Air Canada, no, that is not. You can call that Canadian chicken, but you cannot call it chicken Parmesan because it is not. And you're confusing the hell out of everybody. And by the way, whether you're flight attendant or whether you're waiter or waitress, please tell the person who's ordering said item you will not get that item.
Because a little truth in advertising, sure.
Yes, because then you talk to the person and you go, what's up? And they go, yeah, I know. It's not chicken parm. Yes, I know. I could have got the tortellini. Why didn't you say something?
Don't make me go to the czar.
I'll go to the czar. It all, but believe you, I've been complaining about it for 10 years. You guys, mark my words, it all started with the passion fruit iced tea, and
yep.
We've been sliding downhill ever since.
That was the tipping point.
Ever
right.
Ever since someone changed the recipe for iced tea, nobody said a word. This is what happened with World War II. Nobody said a word. They had Kristallnacht. Nobody said a word. This is Kristallnacht light iced tea, passion fruit flavored. Nobody said a word, and now they're screwing with every food there is. Chicken Parmesan ruined. All right, number one, Miller. I like Miller. I like Miller Lite. It's a good product. But I was in the liquor store, and I noticed the Miller Lite big cans. I got the big boar cans with, like, the screw top, the Mickey's Big Mouth size cans. And then I was looking at the bottles, and I'm looking at the Vortex bottle, so the beer comes out smoother and faster. And then I'm looking at the one with the pop-top can on it, the shotgun can, and I thought, Miller, was there difficulty removing your product from its container in the past? What is going on?
This beer just won't come out.
How much R&D are you going to put into removing your product from the container, and how does this work? I mean, honestly, have you ever been trying to, it's like, I can't catch a buzz, I can't get this beer out of this bottle, I can't get it out of this can. Pretty soon it's just going to be, they're just going to be selling those, like, cans of toffee where you pop the cap and the snakes of beer just come flying out. Ooh, write that down.
Write it down. It's a good
idea. In your face. I'm just saying, Miller, you make a fine product. I have no problem with it. I don't need the can that shoots the beer out of it. I can pour a glass of beer. I'm fine. I got no problems with that. Food czar is going to work on this, by the way.
Sure, the food czar will be...
I'll make him the food and beverage czar.
Oh, there you go. That's a lot of responsibility for one human, though. I got to be honest.
I can handle it.
I nominate you as the food czar.
I just did.
All right. Adam is able to find trouble where none exist. That's why I love him. See him on stage tonight with special guest Doug Benson at the Irvine Improv and also this Saturday night at the Lovitz. Tickets available for both on sale through AdamCarolla.com. And don't miss the summer book of the year called Not Taco Bell Material from our friend Adam Carolla. Have a great week, man. We'll talk to you soon.
Thanks, Ed.
Sharktopus and Joe Schmo. He plays a cop on a TV show. Showbiz beat announcer man. Does voices of animals and eats them. Gee knows. He used to date a porn star. The shack is his Eagles sports bar. He put bat wings on his car. Hey, there goes Ralph Garvin.
Yeah. Yeah.
Strong. I got a theme song, bitches.
That is strong, man. You're practically a superhero with that, dude.
Well, the last name is Garman. Superman, Batman, Garman.
There you go.
Born to be a superhero.
I don't say it.
Born to be a superhero is what I'm saying.
Ah.
You get it?
I hear you.
Extras. You know what I'm saying?
got any extras? I have no idea what you're saying.
Oh, people. Looks like there's another Kardashian reality show on the horizon we're going to have to deal with. This time it's Kendall and Kylie. That's right, the teenage daughters of Kris Jenner and Bruce Jenner.
Let's get LaQuisha on the phone. We're going to have to cover this one, too.
Now reportedly vying for their own reality series, since their half-sisters, Khloe, Courtney, and Kim, have several.
Have they been introduced already on the main Kardashian shows? So we already know who they are, and presumably we care.
We're keeping up with the Jenners.
Okay.
They are teenagers. And there's going to be a show about the things that they do. And that may sound dull because you're saying, well, they're just teenagers like any other teenagers. They'd probably do regular teenager stuff. How can that be interesting enough to build a TV show around? Well, you'd be wrong, my friends, because Kendall tells 17 Magazine, we go on a lot of adventures regarding herself and her sister. We do crazy stuff. We will kidnap one of our friends or get a group together and go to Disneyland for the night. We do what we want to do. We're just like, let's make it happen.
No! No!
I didn't realize they lived those kind of lives. Now I'm fascinated.
You take the Jenner girls and you put them in a situation. Now you got a TV show.
That's right.
That's all you need.
Wait a minute. The situation's going to be on the show?
Nope. Nope. They go to Disneyland for the night, guys.
We will kidnap one of our friends. Listen, if you're actually kidnapping one of your friends, literally holding them for ransom, and maybe sending back a body part a day if you don't get the money... Then I'll watch.
Yeah, that's true. That's what it would take.
If there's a photo of one of your friends blindfolded and crying, holding up today's newspaper to prove that you actually have them in a basement someplace, there's some C4 strapped to them or something. I mean, if you're really kidnapping one of your friends, Jenner girls, then I'll watch. If you're not, then I'm coming for you. That's all you need to know.
Wow.
Don't make promises you can't follow through on.
They sound crazy.
Let's just give Bruce a show. Enough with the kids. Give Bruce a show. I want to see an hour of Bruce sitting on a couch, watching television as he seems to do in every episode of Keeping Up with the Kardashians. I want to watch him polishing both of his diamond earrings that he wears like a rich lady from a Marx Brothers movie. I just want to see him being all strangely effeminate and plastic surgeried up watching television, just
getting beaten up by the Kardashian
flying women. His RC helicopters. I just want to see a day in the life of Bruce.
Have you noticed, Ralph, especially this week with the Olympics on, that there are dozens of former Olympic athletes involved in the telecast, either doing play-by-play or commentary or being special correspondents
every
or something
sport.
Like that? All day long, you can see former Olympians on your TV. Yeah. No one is calling for his Jenner. He's just sitting home just begging for that phone to ring.
I don't think he'd go. I think he likes just sitting on the couch and watching television. That's all he seems to do.
I mean, he's one of the, for people who don't know, who just watch him on the Kardashians, one of America's all-time greatest Olympic athletes.
Used to be, before he got turned into a lesbian woman.
Yet it just doesn't seem like he's even in the fraternity anymore. It's almost like they took his name off those medals, like they ignore him so much because of what he's become. It's like how you don't bring up OJ when you're talking about great Trojans
anymore.
He
was the world's greatest American athlete.
Yeah, at one point.
It would be
hard to argue, Kevin, even today, that there was an all-around athlete who achieved more than Bruce Jenner did. You can pick out individual sports. You can say Jordan or Kobe or, you know,
Alex Rodriguez or Ali. I mean, you can pick out a sport and say, yeah, that was the greatest of that sport. But this guy did the decathlon, people, 10 different Olympic events, and he came out number one in all of them.
But then he
everything, pole vaulting, broad jumping, running, just strength, agility, speed. Guy was superhuman.
And it, but it used to be that Kardashian vortex.
It used to be they couldn't take that away from you. But now we figured out a way to take that away
from
you.
Turns out you can.
More oddly disturbing television news. Vince Vaughn, who I love, is producing a reboot of The Brady Bunch for CBS.
Obviously. No.
Hollywood Reporter says the new show will focus on Bobby Brady, the youngest of the Bradys. You remember Bobby?
No! No!
Bobby had a lot of harebrained schemes. Remember that that hair tonic he tried to sell and turned Greg's hair orange? Remember that one?
I really watched The Brady Bunch.
What? Nine!
I didn't really...
How could you not watch The Brady Bunch?
I just didn't
There are
care.
Certain cultural touchstones, Kevin, that we all have in common. We all share certain things that we all did in our youth. And one of those was to sit down for a half an hour every day and watch The Brady Bunch.
All right. I'll admit that's my bad.
Who are you? Who are you?
Well, how are you going to hate Andy Rooney on television?
Oh, sorry. I didn't realize that was Andy Rooney. I take that one back.
Very tough. You know, it was a Bobby Brady drop?
No, I thought it was a Rodney drop. I looked over and I thought it was Rodney talking about hating TV, but it was actually Andy Rooney. My apologies.
It wasn't.
I withdraw that. We'll edit that out of the podcast.
Much.
So Bobby Brady, the youngest of the Bradys, is all grown up. And he's divorced, and he's got three kids, and he gets remarried to a woman who also has three kids, and the next thing you know, they're all living together in one house, and the kids are having sex with each other.
You're making this whole thing up.
They're shaving the dog. I don't know. Wackiness ensues.
Right.
And it's the new Brady Bunch. We have a new Brady Bunch.
Hmm. It's on TV. You could see that.
I'll tell you, the only person right now excited by this story is a young man named Mike Lookinland who's sitting there looking at his phone, hoping for it to ring. He was the actor who played Bobby Brady, and I guarantee you that phone will not be ringing, Mike. So just go about your catering business or whatever it is you do these. Go change the oil in that Dodge there in the bay or whatever it is that your daily events entail because you're not getting the call. Melanie Griffith is working again. She apparently is going to join the TV series Raising Hope. How about that?
What show is that, Ralph? I'm sorry.
Raising Hope.
I heard the title. Which one is it? Who's on that?
That's the one with Martha Plimpton.
Okay.
About the young baby that is found by a family and raised, and they're sort of white trashy. It's from the creator of My Name is Earl. Same tone. Very funny show. Very entertaining over there on Fox. But apparently she will be joining the cast of that. And Ricky Gervais has a new TV project in the works. It's going to be a web series. He has just finished editing the pilot for a series called Learn English with Ricky Gervais. It's a comedy, apparently, about him teaching foreigners how to speak English.
That sounds funny.
Yeah. Sounds like it'd be a promising concept. He's going to put it on the web, and if it all pans out, maybe it'll move to a network. But he likes the freedom that the internet allows him, and so he's putting together a new show. I'm looking forward to it. Movie news. Billy Bob Thornton has confirmed there will be a sequel to Bad Santa. Why the rush, guys? Billy Bob will be back to play the title role in Bad Santa 2. That's going to happen. And
funny movie.
It was a funny movie. I enjoyed it enormously. And it looks like Little Lamb still carries a certain amount of weight on the set. TMZ is reporting that she had to finally strip down and shoot a topless scene for her new movie, The Canyons, that she's currently filming. Lindsay was quite nervous about it, so in order to ease her anxiety, she insisted that the entire crew shooting the scene work in nothing but their underwear.
Giant size can.
According to the sources, the 10-man crew complied with her wishes, stripped down to their skivvies, and the scene went on without a hitch. So,
boobies!
There you go. It's the power of the boob right there. You could say, yeah, I'm going to show these, but first everyone else has to take all their clothes off.
Okay.
And everyone just starts, clothes start flying.
They're off.
And then, all right, roll. Roll camera.
Boobs. Oh, my God. Boobs. Oh, my God. Boobs.
Sam Mendes, the very talented director, is 47 years old today. As we look at celebrity birthdays, Adam Duritz of Counting Crows is 48. Coolio.
Dr. Zulu.
49 years old today. Chuck D of Public Enemy is 52. Joe Elliott of Def Leppard fame turns 53. And Tom Likas.
Unbelievable.
How's it going with the internet radio show there, Tom? Are
people tuning in? It's amazing. Number one ratings in all of internet radio.
Do you miss being heard on regular FM radio?
Do you care?
Yeah, I was really actually kind of wondering.
Did things out.
Tom. You okay? Tom, someone hit him on the back.
Really?
Tom.
He's 56 years old today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the show.
106.7 K-Rock is KROQ, and this is the Kevin and Bean Show at 9 minutes after 9 o'clock.
Ariane Celeste, were you dancing during that song? I know you find it very difficult to stop moving when there's music on.
Yeah, I loved it.
Ladies and gentlemen, very excited to welcome your Octagon girl for all time. Ariane Celeste from the UFC has joined us here in studio on the Kevin and Bean Show. Of course, Ariane is here. A, she lives here, but B, she's here because the big event is happening this Saturday night, UFC on Fox at Staples Center. So that means it's a work night. It means you got a job to do Saturday night, Ariane.
Yeah, and it's great that it's here. I don't have to travel too far.
Where have you? Where's been the craziest fights? Is that like Brazil or someplace like that? Or
yeah, the energy in Brazil is just amazing. You feel like you're at a football game, and they're all chanting, have people on their shoulders. They're doing the wave. So
and that's better than Vegas, and better than
yeah, definitely. They're just so happy for us to be there. So. I think Vegas gets a little spoiled. We have them
because you do that
a lot
there. Yeah,
yeah,
so. Yeah, that makes sense.
And the people and there's so many events in Las Vegas for you know for locals that go. They're just used to seeing everything. It's not that big a deal when something comes to town. I guess because they get everything. It's so funny. You know, we have your president on Dana all the time. And I remember when the first Brazil UFC fight happened and. I guess they could have sold 10 times the tickets that they ended up selling. I mean, they knew it was going to be popular, but it just everybody in the whole country, it seems like, wants to be involved in watching that in person.
Yeah, I think that's where it originated, and they're very, very happy when we go there.
So. Half the fighters are from there, it seems like.
Yeah. They bring them out there, so.
Yeah, they do. It's like Dominicans in baseball. It's just everybody grows up, you know, obsessed with it. It's funny because when you get into a job like yours, and I'm always fascinated with people who have jobs like yours because I mean, it's so far removed from what we do that I can't even imagine what it's
barely,
like for you.
Just barely. We almost do the same thing.
But I would think that one of the reasons somebody would want to get into a job like yours, Ariane, is because of the travel, because they get to go all over the world and see stuff. But after you've done it for a few years, it sounds like the travel is the thing that is kind of the downside of the job too, right?
Yeah, I mean it definitely gets tiring, but I mean I look at it as a blessing. I'm 26 and I've been all around the world and I can't wait to see more. And plus I'm with the biggest growing sport in the world, so and the best company, so it's awesome. I'm not complaining.
You know a lot about UFC, right? A lot about the fighters, a lot about fighting.
Yeah, I mean I've been in the game for over 5 years, so now I get it. I understand the
sport. Are you friends with a lot of the fighters?
I'm friends with him, yeah.
Mm-hmm. And the reason I ask is because I wonder what that's like for you if is it easy for you to choose who to root for instance, if you kind of know everybody and hang out with everybody and you're kind of nonpartisan, you know, in your job?
Yeah, well, at first they said, you know, try not to cheer. We had to be, like, neutral.
Right.
But now, of course, yeah, I'm on the road with these guys. I get to know them. So it's definitely hard to see some of them fight, but... You know, it's his job. It's
so when you're holding up the two for the second round, you go, come on, Hua!
Yeah.
You're allowed to do that or no?
I cheer sometimes. I get into it. I really do.
Do you have a handler? Do you have somebody that goes, hey, you're supposed to be neutral?
We have an assistant that helps us out, but she's cool. She doesn't mind.
What kind of reaction do you get from UFC fans in person when you're there for a fight?
Overwhelmingly good.
I mean, do a lot of people try to get to you, try to talk to you, try to meet you that night?
Yeah, definitely. During the fights, in between fights, we're always taking pictures, meeting the fans, and then we have, you know, meet and greets and all that. And it's really great for the fans because I feel like this is a sport where it really caters to the fans. Mm-hmm. So we always make time to have, you know, signings and meet and greets and blah, blah, blah. So
now this Saturday, really it starts at 2. Uh-huh. There are a bunch. Some of the fights that are going to be on Fuel TV. Are you there at 2, or do you get there at 5 for the main events? You're there for the whole thing.
All. Uh-huh.
Really? I would think they would have an uglier chick for the early fights. I would think they bring in a fat one, you know, to run for the Fuel fights, and then you come in for the main event.
Maybe a dude in a one piece.
That'd be weird.
So but, you're there for all of them. Uh-huh. This is the fourth, I guess, of the fights that they have done free on the Fox network. How have you noticed any kind of a difference with so many more people being able to see the sport? Have you been able to feel kind of the increase in popularity as a result of it being exposed to a wider audience?
I think yes, very much so, especially on social media. You see the numbers upping every time that they have a Fox show.
Mm-hmm.
And so people are watching that probably normally wouldn't watch because they wouldn't pay for it.
Right.
So, yeah, it's increasing, and I think it's also helping the pay-per-views as well.
Do you see the other side of it where people think it's barbaric and they, you know what I mean, like that old school thinking of...
Yeah. I see that a lot, especially with women, but it's... Like, I'll invite
But who cares what they think, right?
You'll invite nice a girlfriend. Thing. I'll invite a girlfriend or a guy, whoever, to a live event. And from then on, they're hooked. Because they see it live. They see the sport behind the art behind it. And then they're hooked, and they want to watch it all the time. So
I don't know how you how you couldn't be blown away by the level of talent in your sport. When you see what these UFC guys do, you may hear about it, but until mm-hmm. you really watch it, and especially in person, yeah. you have no idea how unbelievably talented these athletes are. I mean, it's incredible the stuff that they do.
It really is.
Now, speaking of being incredible, you are. I mean, your full time job is to be hot, right? I mean, there's so much. I mean, seriously, there's so much pressure on you, and now for 5 years, you said, so for 5 years, you have to get up every single day and go, what am I not allowed to eat today? What do what workout do I have to do that I really don't feel like, but I must because it's my job? I mean, that's kind of your whole life, right?
Yeah, it's been my whole life, but also before this, I was very interested in fitness and health, and my major was kinesiology, so it's all about the body and how it works. And
oh, so you like working out anyway.
I was a gymnast and a cheerleader, so we kind of always have to watch our figure and like eat right. So I think it's just part of my lifestyle, and I've gotten used to it now.
Do you watch the gymnastics in the Olympics since you're a gymnast? Do you have a special
it's my favorite part
affection for them and know what they're going through?
It's tough.
It seems
work.
Like it seems brutal.
It
because
is.
That could be their whole 15 years of their life on Earth, and then they have 1 second, and they could screw it up, and then you just go, wow, that was their whole life.
Yeah, it's very dangerous, too.
Yeah.
And we've got some girls with personality this year on the U.S. women's gymnastic team. If you saw them winning their gold last night, I mean, there's definitely some perky people. But some of those other countries, you do get the impression it's like some sort of a child labor deal. They look especially some of the Asian countries. I mean, I'm not kidding. When I feel like they're animatronic, some of them, they just have nothing on their face.
They were locked into a gym at 4, and that's where they've been.
And they that's what it looks like.
They don't get food when they go home if they don't get one of the medals.
Speaking of food, do you have a cheat day in your schedule or any kind of a thing that you will pig out on because you love it so much you will not deny yourself?
Yeah, I love pizza. I love pizza, French toast, and French fries. And I allow myself at least one day. I mean, I don't really diet. I just eat whatever I want.
Oh, people are going to hate you for that.
I just eat healthy
and work out.
I don't
really diet. I just look good.
Yeah. I like to eat what I want, so.
We all do.
So I work out instead.
All right.
Ariana Celeste is here, of course. UFC on Fox is going to be at Staples Center starting live on Fox. And it starts airing live at 2 our time. Is that right?
No, it's on Fuel TV at 2.
Yeah, at 2 cool. And then at Fox at
and
5.
At five yeah.
Yes. And there are still some tickets available, by the way, if you want to be there to see Ariana and to see Hua versus Vera and all the other fights that night. You can still go to Ticketmaster.com and buy your tickets to be there in person. It's going to be awesome. Would you mind, Ariana, if we took some calls, some UFC-related calls from your fans?
Sure.
We don't do this all the time with guests, but I know there are a lot of people who would love the opportunity to talk to you, so we want to give them the chance to do that at 1-800-520-1067. If you have any questions for Ariana Celeste, she is our guest, and we'll return right after this on the Kevin and Bean Show on Kara. Well, this is fun. Ariana Celeste in studio with us here on the Kevin and Bean Show. You can follow her on Twitter at Ariana Celeste. Of course, you can also follow the UFC at UFC. This Saturday night at Staples Center, tickets still available for UFC on Fox. Ariana will be there. That was funny.
Can I
at the
hold
end of
one of those signs of one or two or three? Can I do that once?
Sure, you can take my
Thank
job.
You're not qualified, Kevin. You haven't had the training for that.
But I look good.
Kevin brought up something right at the end of that song that I want to get on the air because I think it was hilarious. The night that the Forrest Griffin fight that you were just talking about. Tell me from your perspective how you saw it unfold. And then we're going to go to some calls for you at 1-800-520-1067.
Oh, man. I thought it was ridiculous. first of all, he won, and he just to
he didn't know it yet, though, right?
He didn't know. He didn't know it, but that's just crazy to me.
So he ran out
of
the ring.
He's done that before. Yes. And why do that? Just be a good sport and talk like normal.
I don't think he knows how to do that. Now, the broadcasters said that Dana White ran after him. I didn't see it.
Yeah, he did. He was very upset.
Was he really? So yeah. He said, get back in there. And and then he won the
and
fight.
And then he took kind of like Tito's shine. You know, it's his last fight. I thought that was kind of weird, too.
He took the microphone from Joe and then interviewed him. Yeah, that was sort of weird, too.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, you work with some colorful characters.
And by that, we mean crazy.
Let's take a few calls here for our guest, Ariane Celeste, here on the Kevin and Bean Show. Let's go to Tim. He's on line two. He's got a great question that I'm sure a lot of people would be interested in hearing about. Hi, Tim. Welcome to the show. You're on.
Thank you. I had a question. When the guys are weighing in, you girls are standing right behind them. Is it kind of hard not to check them out? Because I see you guys trying really hard not to look at them.
Uh-huh. Well, definitely we have some very amazing bodies in this sport. So, I mean, if they're allowed to look, I'm allowed to look.
There you go.
There you go.
That's a good answer. Like thank you, Tim. Let's move along to, let's go to Elliot. Elliot has a question for you on line four as well. Elliot, thanks for calling. You're on with Ariane. Go ahead.
Yes, Ariane. I noticed that you normally wear black and the rest of the girls wear red. Does that mean like you're like a team captain?
No, it doesn't mean that, but I've been here the longest, I think, and black is just, it's easy. If I want to eat a little carbs that day, I'm going to do it. And
what?
Black hides things easier, you know?
They don't make you wear the same...
No, there's a red one and a black one. So I wear red sometimes when I'm alone, but I like to wear the black.
Okay. Thank you very much for the call. Speaking of being an octagon girl, someone has tweeted to the Kevin and Bean account, TattooLover12 wants to know, how do you get that job? How did you get into being a ring girl in the UFC? And are jobs like that even available for we mortals?
Well, yeah, I went to a casting when I was going to college, and I didn't really think of it as a huge, you know, gig that would change my life. But as the sport grew and as it got bigger and bigger and bigger, they asked me to stay on. So I kind of...
So when you went, it was just like, oh, I don't even know what this is, but I'm
going
to...
Yeah, I really didn't know about the sport 5 years ago.
You just thought it was a way to kind of further your modeling career, maybe acting, whatever, right?
I honestly just saw it as a paycheck. I was going to school full time, and I never thought that it would change my life. But
5 years later, the fact that you're still doing it and you're as famous as a lot of the fighters, I mean, nobody could have predicted that, right?
Yeah, it's definitely awesome.
All right, let's try Iggy. He's got a question on line three, too. Iggy, welcome to the Kevin and Bean Show. You're on with Ariane.
Good morning, party people. Good morning, Lisa May.
Good morning.
You guys, speaking of colorful people, I was just wondering if Ariane got to work in depth with our man Joe Rogan, and if she finds him as interesting as the rest of the world, or if she's seen his stand-up.
I've seen his stand-up many times, and I think he's amazing. He's one of the funniest guys I know in person and on stage. So I've known him since I was, like, 21. And like,
you
want to
tell that story or no?
Like I was telling Kevin, I was barely in the UFC for the first time. I was turning 21, and let's just say I had a great night with all my girlfriends and Joe Rogan and all his friends in Vegas.
And? Anything else or no?
All right. That's it.
It's up to you. That's fine.
It's always best to stop the story before the bucket, Kevin. Come on, you know that.
It was just one of those crazy Vegas nights. I had never experienced it before. So
Joe is one of the genuinely most decent guys I've ever met. I love that dude. He just is so sincere and so genuinely nice to people.
Yeah. But crazy, really smart,
but crazy, and spends too much time on YouTube.
Yes, he definitely spends too much time worrying about Bigfoot. I will tell you.
Every time he comes in, he's got some new animal that he's afraid of. Yeah,
yeah.
He's weird.
Karina also tweets a question for you. She loves you. She thinks you're so pretty, but wonders why you have no ass. Would you ever consider getting butt implants?
What?
No, I actually, you know, I've learned to love my body, and I'm petite.
I have
so.
Too. We have so much in common, Ariane.
Yeah, thank you. I'm petite, so I'm happy with my body. So if people don't like it, then they can suck it.
Whoa, I didn't know that. Was a, I didn't know that
deal.
Was,
is that an deal?
So, Karina, you are denied. You are a bad person. So, there we go. All right.
I'm not into the Kim K look.
We're almost out of time. Anything else you want to talk about? First of all, anything else you wanted to hit before you go? But second of all, anything you want to say about UFC on Fox at Staples Center this Saturday?
Definitely don't miss UFC on Fox this Saturday. It starts at 5, and it's free, and it has some of the best in the business. Shogun Hua versus
Vera.
Mm-hmm. And then Ryan Bader versus
Lyoto Machida.
Yeah.
That's going to be a good fight.
Yeah, definitely.
So it's going to be a good night. Are you doing any signings or meetings or anything like that in the near future?
Not this weekend.
Okay.
When you see Kevin Saturday night, you are going to pretend you've never met him before. That is my prediction. You are going to look right past him. You're not even going to acknowledge that you've met before. Am
That's
I right?
That's actually my request.
No, I never forget a face.
All right. Ariadne, great to have you in. Have a great time this weekend. I hope we get a chance to do this again sometime soon.
Thank you, guys.
Thanks for coming in.
Javier Medrano from Westwood, latest winner of Jack White tickets for the upcoming show at the Shrine. Also eligible for the grand prize drawing we do Friday to go to the Voodoo Experience in New Orleans to see Jack White and so many others. It's K-Rock Road Trip USA 2012, stop number 5. Your chance to win with Cat Corbett coming up. Hey, Ralph Garman.
You guys all right?
What do you mean?
Will be. With Gore Vidal passing and all? You're
I was seriously A, bummed, and B, didn't realize he was still alive, and that's not a joke.
I still don't know anything about him.
First of all, how can you be bummed?
Because I loved him.
Yeah, but you didn't know he was alive.
I didn't know
he was alive. So you were passionate, obviously, for him and his career because you weren't even aware he was still walking the planet.
Because he just stopped appearing on television. He used to be on TV all the time, and then he stopped appearing, so I just assumed, oh, that's sad, he died. I didn't realize he was just living in retirement. That's all. But I was a huge fan of his for many years of my life, and I'm sad.
Ralph, that's how Bean judges things. If they're on TV, they're alive. If they're not, they're
right.
Dead.
Well, if people leave the screen, he's like a child. Yes. If you leave the screen, you stop existing. It's like
that's,
when you're an infant
how it works.
And your parents leave the room, you think they're no longer, they don't exist anymore. But at some time around age, I don't know, 18 months, they start to recognize that things exist beyond their field of vision.
Nope. I just assumed he was gone.
Somebody you loved.
Yes. Oh, loved him. Huge fan. Didn't know he was alive. Because he wasn't on my internet screen.
Well, he's kept a fairly low profile in recent years.
Right, that doesn't mean dead.
It usually means dead.
No.
Especially for a guy as prolific as he was.
All right.
Passed away at the age of 86. Just a little mention. No one in our listening audience probably cares about Gore Vidal. But he was quite the commentator and playwright and author. Lived a strong, productive life. Passed away at the age of 86.
So people love
don't get me wrong. He didn't write anything along the lines of 50 Shades of Grey or something of that sort of power. But he was known for writing a few books and a few plays and always had a take on something.
If you haven't heard of him, we have neither.
You can Google him if you want.
You can Google him if you want.
I loved him, but thought he was dead all these years.
He-Man, Masters of the Universe, coming to the big screen. No, He-Man is alive. Oh, I loved me some He-Man. Prince Adam, of course. Don't forget, he was Prince Adam.
Oh, of course. That was his daytime cover?
That was his cover. He was Prince Adam. Soft-spoken Prince Adam. It was sort of like a Middle Ages fantasy Dungeons and Dragons version of Clark Kent and Superman. Okay. Prince Adam was like, hi, I'm Prince Adam. Oh, what's going on in this kingdom over here? And then he would pull out the sword of Grayskull. And you know what happened? He had the power. He would have the power. I'm just begging for you to play that audio.
This is the,
you got anything?
I have it.
Got something? And he would turn from Prince Adam, who would wear a lot of clothing like a person. Then he became He-Man. He would be almost buck naked, just with a fur loincloth, and just raising his sword up in the air.
His sword.
He was a well-built man. That He-Man.
He loved He-Man.
Yeah. Of course, he had his sergeant at arms, who he often fought alongside.
Robin.
No, his name was Sergeant at Arms.
Not very much thought went into that.
Not a lot of thought. No, there was She-Ra, of course, Princess of Power. Let's not forget her.
Then.
Just a great cast of characters. Skeletor, one of the great villains of all time. But they're bringing it all back to the big screen. There was not a large budget, but there was a medium-sized budget version of He-Man, Masters of the Universe in 1987, featuring Dolph Lundgren as He-Man, which was great casting because, you know, He-Man's a big powerful bodybuilder type guy, and Lundgren certainly fulfilled that role.
Oh, dude, lame.
Frank Langella was Skeletor. Good times. But they're bringing it back, and it looks like John Chu is going to be the host, the director of the show.
He's good.
He is good. He brought us G.I. Joe Retaliation, which we haven't seen yet because they're currently reshooting some scenes and putting it into a 3D conversion process. But he did also direct Step Up to the Streets. So Dave the King of Mexico is very excited about He-Man. Hope He-Man dances all over Grayskull.
Oh, move it up!
I have the power.
He does dance.
Look at my power! MTV Video Music Award nominations were announced yesterday. Interesting list released today of the top VMA-winning artists of all time. Smashing Pumpkins, NSYNC, and Justin Timberlake are all tied with 7. Then Michael Jackson and Red Hot Chili Peppers have 8 apiece, as does A-ha. One of these things is not like the other. Janet Jackson and Fatboy Slim with 9, Aerosmith 10. Green Day, Eminem, and Beyonce are all tied with 11. Then R.E.M. with 12. Peter Gabriel and Lady Gaga have 13 apiece. And the number one most VMA award-winning artist of all time, Madonna, with 20 of them. She truly is the greatest artist of the video generation, I think you'd have to say.
Yeah, I guess so.
In terms of video translating directly into success and popularity, I think Madonna truly is the quintessential video age artist.
I thought she was dead.
Yeah.
Well, I didn't realize.
She was laying low. I didn't see her in my house today, so I assume she must be dead someplace.
If I can't see her on my TV, she doesn't exist. That's true. That's how it works.
Must be exhausting to be you.
That is how it works.
And Bob Marley Day is coming up. August the 7th, the city of Los Angeles has announced Bob Marley Day. So I wonder how we can celebrate Bob Marley Day. What are we going to do on the 7th?
And we have to ask Snoop Lion, get his take on it.
Two of the reggae pioneers' children, Ziggy and Karen, will accept the proclamation that day from the city council. You can pick up the new documentary Marley about Bob's life and career the same day. So for you reggae fans, you can check that
out. Which is great, by the way.
That's a good
movie.
Seen it. Really good.
I have some more tickets to give away to The Campaign.
Can't wait.
This is for the red carpet world premiere with Will and Zach. Looks hilarious, this movie. I've got 3 pairs of tickets to give away. I want to give them away right now to you. If you want to call in, 1-800-520-1067 is the number to call. First 3 callers to get through, we got a pair of passes to go see Will Ferrell and Zach Galifianakis in the new film, The Campaign. I can't wait. Have you seen the posters? Just so funny. Will with like a giant American eagle on his arm. Funny stuff. Today's celebrity birthdays, radio personality Tom Likas.
56 years old today.
I love him. I didn't know he was still alive.
he's been laying low these days.
Oh, Tom. Oh, Bean knew Tom was alive.
Of course, he's in radio.
Well, yeah, he's in radio. I keep tabs on all those. He's my email buddy.
Is the grease man still alive? Is the grease man still alive?
Of course he is.
Why are you guys? How do you know the grease man is still alive? Guy who hasn't been on radio in 4 years.
Doug Tracht? Yeah, we keep in touch.
Yeah. Today's his birthday, too, by the way.
Bean only keeps in touch with radio people outside of the station.
That he doesn't work with directly.
Right. You never know when I might need a job. I think that's just good planning.
Joe Elliott of Def Leppard is 53 years old today. Chuck D of Public Enemy is 52. Coolio turns 49 years old today. I said Coolio turns 49 years old today.
Shaka Zulu.
I've moved on.
I think is what we need. Moved on to what?
He thought Coolio was dead because we haven't talked about him in an hour.
Shaka Zulu!
Adam Duritz.
It's a noise.
Counting Crows is 48. And Sam Mendes, very, very talented director. Soon to be bringing us Skyfall, the latest James Bond movie. He is 47 years old today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
As you know, we play the most hip-hop and R&B here on the Kevin and Bean Show.
Sure do.
So tomorrow morning on an all-new program, we've got T.I. in studio. T.I.
Fantastic. He's going to be in the mix?
He's in the mix, yeah. He's also on The Boss, which is on Starz Network. Starring
The Boss. Oh, with Kelsey Grammer.
Kelsey Grammer.
Plays the mayor of Chicago in that show.
Correct.
Not T.I., but Kelsey Grammer.
Just Boss, not The Boss. Sorry, I'm being corrected from the other room.
Yeah, The Boss is about Springsteen. That's
correct.
On HBO.
Dr. Drew will be on the program tomorrow. Brand new internet roundup and your last chance at tickets for the world premiere of The Campaign. Tomorrow morning on the Kevin and